Shall I just say, Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house, Lord.
Mr. Burns, that we are in the last age wherein that has happened, which has not happened since the beginning, that it is not only God in the people and God above the people, but God himself with the people. And, Lord, we thank you for that at this hour so we can walk in the assurance of the power of God, especially to reveal the Word to us and help us that we might have greater assurance than we have ever had before. So, Lord, be with mouth and ear, we pray, and anoint our hearts together. And we carefully give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now. I didn't really intend to get up here, and I'm not one to want to be coached. I'm too much like the old fire horse anyway. He gets too old to answer pull the fire engine. Every time he heard the fire bell ring, he struggled to kick up his heels. And I guess I've preached for so many years and believe this message that whether I got anything to say or not, I would like to, you know, to say it. Now, this morning the message is going to deal with scriptural chronology of the hour as seen in the beginning of the first church age. Now, I don't know, there's most of you sitting here perhaps have never heard the message Alpha and Omega, which I preached, I suppose, 8-9 years ago. And it would be wise for you to get the tape unless I were to preach it again, because it shows you that everything that happened must happen again. There is nothing that has not already been done, but must be done again. We took it from Genesis clean to Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, that is one of the strong points that God reveals concerning himself. I am Alpha and Omega. He does not say anything. I am what goes in between. As Brother Branham explained, Alpha is the alphabet, A and Omega, the letter Z. In other words, I am all of it. My expression was that a board has two ends, and if it's got two ends, it's got a middle. So the dimensions are always concerning the ends. And what is from end to end, of course, lies there before you. And Brother Branham said that it's not so much what's in between, it's what's at the end, and you've got to watch. So if we go into beginnings, we've got to then automatically find an ending. And if the Alpha is Omega, then the end will be identical to the beginning, such as in the resurrection. If Jesus Christ is the first fruit, which is Alpha, the Omega must be every single resurrected person that's in the image of Jesus Christ in the first resurrection. That's why there's two parts to the first resurrection. Jesus came out of the graves and the dead bodies followed him. They weren't dead any longer. And now the same thing happens, that the Scripture says God will bring forth with Jesus, that Jesus must be brought forth, placed at the head of the church in order to bring forth the dead. It's the same as the pillar of fire that came to bring the word of God to the apostle. If he is Omega, the pillar of fire has to occur again. I don't care what anybody says. If there's no way you can get away from it. One of the secrets of the Bible is understanding that Alpha is Omega. Now, what we're going to do this morning, and I hope I can do it quickly, to get some points across and not take too long, because we're going to need several chapters, literally, and I won't cover them all, is we're going to go to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, I want you to see a scripture here. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I challenge you. Show me one minister that dares to make that statement, and I'll confine his soul to hell because he's a liar. Now, go ahead. We've got folks that come in and argue about this message. Show me a preacher. Show me one man that had the spiritual fortitude and the ability to stand up and make that statement. How do you know you're following Christ? I can prove this morning that some of your best intentions have been. Some of the things that you thought were your finest moment were your rottenest. Just like a lot of marriages. You thought that was your crowning day. That's the day they should have buried you. That's why I preach funeral sermons and never marry anybody, because the dead don't come back and complain. But the living do. Be ye followers, and even as also I am of Christ. Now, Paul must have known something, and he wasn't putting this in the superlative, that I'm a man who never makes a mistake. I'm a man who is infallible within myself. He was telling them that he knew how to go to God for every answer. And he could set the church right. Now, you show me a group of men, I don't care how smart they are, how anointed they are, how powerful they are, you let them go together, let alone one man, and the more, the worse it gets, and can say, here, I can get answers. Now, if that's Alpha, there's got to be an Omega. I don't care what anybody says. If the first church age had an apostle, had a man that was so anointed, so directly in touch by the lip to the ear, so that he could say, if any man thinks he's a proper spiritual, let him admit that what I say is the commandment of God. That's what we're talking about. Because Paul, as a man, was fallible. After writing the first Corinthians chapter 13 on love, he was so upset with that circumcising bunch of backsliders that he blew his lid. That's fine. Holy indignation's fine. I'm all for it. I can get married in a firecracker and prove I'm right, because God will make the wrath of man to praise him. I've been led by my own inner angers many times to do exactly the will of Almighty God, because God's bigger than I am, bigger than you. But I can't stand here and say, look, I've got the answers. This man could stand here and say, I have got the answers. And we had a man, William Branham, stand in the pulpit and said, if I tell you a lie, I'm a hypocrite. And I saw the man that the bunch from Lima went down from, because I stood on division because of Joe Hankins, who stood in the pulpit and he said, if I tell a lie, I'm a hypocrite. As though he were a prophet. Let me tell you flat, if I tell you a lie, I am honestly mistaken. But William Branham said, I can get to God and I can get an answer. And if I come back and tell you different, I am a hypocrite, because he would be a hypocrite. I'm an angry preacher, you can tell. I'm fed up to hear with all the nonsense. Well, they got mad because I mentioned names. I don't care. Don't like names, get out now before we're finished. Let me tell you something flat. When God sent me to Covington, when which this work started, it was on one basis I found it. I don't take any leadership here because I am not pastor. Keep my hands off. I don't want one cent of your money. But let me tell you, I stood before the charismatics. I could have had the whole bunch in my hand. And I said, if God doesn't do something, nothing will be done. Not knowing I'd take two people down to Jeffersonville where Brother Branham was, introduce them to the prophet and the word of Almighty God, and that's where that word came from. Let me tell you flat, I don't care who you are this morning. I have no respect for you as an individual against this word of Almighty God. If you line with it, you are just as perfect as Almighty God. You are bride. The day will come when you'll say, I'm one with the Father, and the shuck will fall away. Because that's what the early church had. He said, be followers of me. In other words, there was one man that you could look to and get an answer. But he was fallible within himself. He had his passions. He had his tempers. He even went so far as to tell men if they couldn't contain themselves, go and get married. My God, if that's all you got married for was sex, which is not bad in itself, you could have a pretty lousy marriage. But he himself said, I don't need women, I got my gift. He never stood there claiming anything to himself, but he stood there claiming something that no other man could claim. So he said, if any man think himself a pure spiritual prophet, let him admit what I say is the commandment of Almighty God. He meant what he said. Now let's go back to the book of Acts. Well, first of all, let me read verse 2. Now I praise your brethren that you remember me in all things and keep the commandments as I delivered them to you. That's now verse 2 explains what I said about verse 1. Be you followers of me as I give the commandments that God gave. That's exactly how the pastor rules in the church. He rules by the word of God. And then when he gives the word of God, some of you folk are dumb enough to think he might be Nicolaitan. I want to check it out this morning. I've heard little whispers that you think your pastor's Nicolaitan. Me, yeah. To be Nicolaitan, you've got to have several men in a hierarchy. One man forms a dictatorship. You haven't got your language right. If I cut your heads off, I'm sorry for you, but listen, you better smarten up. It's getting late in the day. It's getting late in the day. Ain't no man ever going to hit this pulpit this perfect. Don't ever think that for 1 minute. There's a judging word here. And I would hate to judge Paul. Just looking at the man. He had no more authority than nothing. He had no more than nothing. He said, I come to you in weakness. I come to you in trembling. He said, I look like an ape and I walk like an ape. I don't have a thing in myself. And he didn't. He said, my speech is rotten. He said, I'm such a kind of a guy you wouldn't even listen to. But he said, I want you to know something. I met the pillar of fire face to face. And he said, I delivered those ordinances to you. And you walk in those ordinances. Now, the preacher is not above the ordinances. But he's fallible. And Paul was fallible. Paul made boo-boos. Don't worry, he sure did. He got in a fight with Peter. Brother Branham said you can disagree bitterly with anybody over doctrine, but you got to love them. Why'd they pull out of the church here over church over 45 minutes? And Brother Branham distinctly said, I broke my own law. Didn't say God's law. Huh? You see, boy, babe, you should have brought your notes. I should have. They're just preaching off the cup, but just give me a chance to throw everything I want through in, either out the window or in the window. Acts the 3rd chapter. This is the Bible, not me. I got nothing to do with the Bible. I preach it. I even hate myself for preaching it. It says here at the end time in verse 21, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Restoration of what? Restoration of what the prophet said. Some people got an idea God's going to restore every single thing that was ever said back through the ages. All right, then bring up Tyre and Sidon. Bring up Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the word that gets restored. Ned Iverson was on an airplane with Billy Graham. He introduced himself because Billy knew his dad, Dr. Dan Iverson. The man that wrote that song about the Holy Spirit. As he talked to Billy, he said, Billy, there's just one thing, he said, that hasn't happened. The word of God has not been restored. And Billy said, you're right. Well, Billy Graham's no authority as far as that's concerned. Where is his vindication? The prophet was correct when he said you could win a whole nation to Jesus Christ and win them all wrong. The word of God distinctly says in Peter, you can be born of the wrong seed, being born of the incorruptible, not of the corruptible. Now he said being born again. He wasn't talking about a man who was born in the flesh of corruptible seed, which all dies. He said being born again. So Billy said, all right, I come to a city, 30,000 are saved. I come back in 2 years, ain't nobody there. They were born again, but wrong seed. How can a man leave Christ if you're born again? You're indissolubly joined to him.
You have become amalgamated. You have become unionized. You've been poured into one vessel. He's been immersed in us and we immersed in him. Who's going to lose the other? That's just technical talk I'm giving to. I'm not even spiritualized. That's just technical language. Absolutely technical and mechanical. That's what happened. You say, Brother Bell, I just don't feel he's poured into me and I'm poured into him. Who cares about your feelings? What's your feelings got to do with God? What's my feelings got to do with God? Go by feelings, you'll go crazy. So I praise you, brethren. Now, he said, these ordinances here, the end time, it says here, I read it to you, that by the just before Jesus Christ comes, it says here the heavens will retain him until there is a restoration. And that restoration started under Luther. Even the historians got that correct. But he said, at that age, you're living a name that's dead. And at the end time, he said, it's going to be so wrong that Christ will be knocking at the church to try to get back into it. But at the evening time, there shall be light. There's only one light. And that's the light of Matthew 24. Don't ever forget this as long as you live. This is part of the parousia. For as lightning cometh, that word is a bright, not as lightning, zap, zap across the sky. It's as a bright and burning lamp, intensely burning, comes out of the east and shines even unto the west. So shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Christ once more will blaze forth at the end time as a light. Now, what's the light in the end? What's the light? It's the word of Almighty God always has been. Thy word's a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. Amen. I'm the light of the world. He that believeth me shall not walk in darkness. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's Alpha. There's got to be an Omega. Now, listen, let's watch. But I would have you know the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. He's setting the church in order, the bride relationship. The first thing here, if you're going to follow me according to ordinances, you've got to set the church in order. And church order came under the thunders. Brother Branham said so bleakly. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, the woman is under the man. Now this morning, I want to know how many women are under the men this morning. Now the next thing is, how much under the men? To the degree that the man is under Christ. Now they tell me over there in the many, several years back now in the suburbs, when people moved out of the major portion of the city, they got nice homes outside. They couldn't make a living, couldn't keep the payments, so many women outside of Boston and various places in America literally became prostitutes or call girls to make money, and the husband sanctioned it. He is no head of nothing. And any man that want his wife to do anything immoral or anything which was not pleasing to Jesus Christ, she could not listen to him for 5 seconds. And it's that same rotten thing that's got incest into the homes until the thing that's kept undercover most in America and is now putting its head out, and Gene mentioned that this morning, but I already read some articles on it, is incest. At one time it was a joke and said incest is all right as long as you keep it in the family. But it's not a joke anymore because it's right there. See, men are standing for it. Yes, men are standing for it. Shows how rotten they are. How could a woman follow a man like that? The same man that said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ, setting the ordinance in the church, would now ask some woman to follow a man that doesn't follow the ordinances. So I told my wife, after I went back preaching, disobeying God for many years, I still don't like preaching. The fact is just to preach. Too tough a life. I like a nice, easy life. I said, if I ever get disobedient to God and want you to turn aside, you follow God, don't you dare follow me.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, any woman or any man will deny his partner the right to pray, to read that Bible, to fellowship in a godly church, you got to split. No, and I hit women, I come to their defense at the same time. Because this is not a man's church and it's not a woman's church, it's Christ's church.
Amen.
Now, the head of every man is Christ and the head of Christ is God. We speak in terms now of not just the Logos here, we speak in terms, because the Logos did come out of God, but we speak in terms of Christ the man. And we're speaking men and women. And Paul was speaking as a man here. There's only one way that he could literally follow Jesus, because he, later on we'll show you, I saw him as one God born out of due season. There's only one way he could have followed him, and that was through the pillar of fire, and he said, who are you? And that pillar of fire struck him down, he said, I'm Jesus. Yeah. Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Now, every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonors his head. Now, you can say what you want about that. That has to do with hair, long hair, short hair. But also has the connotation here that any man that doesn't come in subjection to the word, he's got his head covered from it, doesn't want to come under it. He's disobedient and disobeys God. The same as a woman cutting her hair, doesn't want to come under the authority of the man. Now we're speaking in terms mostly here of the bride. See? Now he is placing the bride and the husband as the husband of the, which is the word. In this particular portion here, see? Now, and he says in verse 16, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such customs. In other words, women cannot cut their hair, period. So the same thing holds here. There is no authority outside of the word. Now, there are church meetings, men like to come together and superimpose what they think might be the right thing or a good thing. For heaven's sake, go to the word and find out. And until you can find out, sit still. Okay? That's what's wrong. People jump here and jump, people jump there. The thing to do is to sit still until we find out. Fellow went to Brother Branham one day. He said, Brother Branham, I feel I got a call to do so-and-so. Brother Branham said, God be with you. Go on your way. Yeah, but he said, I said, another little feeling down deeper inside. And it says, I ought to sit still and really wait, he said, because I'm just not 100% sure. He said, now you got it. Now you got it. How many of you folk are just nervous this morning, want to be on your way, and you can't sit still? Oh, it's tough, baby. It's tough. It's tough. There's nothing outside the word. Because Paul said, look, he said, I've been anointed to it. He said, I've set an order. I'm not standing here, said Paul, as a paragon of virtues, so you couldn't put your finger on him. We got the same thing at the end time. Because Paul was born in sin, we had a prophet born in sin. Now you can take this message and pervert it all you want. Doesn't bug me any, because I know the truth of it. I know that William Branham was just an ordinary man with an extraordinary gift. And a God that manifested himself in the pillar of fire at the end time and spoke to him the same as he spoke to Paul, so that he could say the same one in the pillar of fire that gave the book is here revealing the book. And he would have to be of Alpha's Omega. There would have to be a time. I know people don't want to believe this because their minds are clouded by denomination, but Alpha is Omega. You tell me where the Omega is. Where is it? When's it going to come? I want to know. I'm talking about Baptist, Presbyterian, and Methodist, and Pentecost, Trinity, and this and that. Talk to me about the Bible. At the end time, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. Go back and check the beginning. Is it here now? I brought up those verses in Scripture and showed you where it says was this thing was not done in the corner. That's what Paul said. And the Scripture distinctly says, I read over there in Luke, the words of the prophet mentioning how this was done before all men. In other words, there was nothing done that was not done openly and proven, and men went. And when Herod found out that the wise men came to worship him, he said, let's get him. When the whole city was stirred by angels, they forgot it. And 30 years down the road, when they said, this man has got to be a great man, a great prophet at least, they sneered and they said, well, show me where any prophet came out of Galilee. Why don't they trace his genealogy back? Remember the records of Herod when those wise men came? He's born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's not in Galilee, that's Judea. It was too convenient to throw away the records. It was too convenient to throw it out the window. I would to God someone like Jess Stern would write a book about Brother Branham, put it around the world, open people's eyes. Not eulogizing a man, but let's face it. If I talk about you as being born again a part of Jesus Christ, I'm eulogizing you. I'm giving you an honor that you don't deserve. And I'm giving you an honor you can't have unless God gave it you. Because nothing anybody confer upon anybody is what God did. We're not born of the will of man or the will of the flesh. Or some will of something is born again by the will of God. See? Now, he says here, and this I declare, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better but for the worse. There are divisions among you. Divisions at the time of the revealed perfect word. Yes! He even tried to make Paul a god. Tried to was Barnabas, tried to make him a god. And at the end time, John finds himself in the book of Revelation falling down to worship a prophet. And I hear in Jeffersonville a certain person bowed his knee to another certain person. Because he's a prophet. You say, Brother Bill, what kind of a mess is this message? It's perfect with God. We're at the end time. We are at the end where the fullness of sin and deceit comes to its absolute peak. Let him that is unrighteous be unrighteous still. It's gone. Let him that is wicked be wicked still. But let him that is holy be holy still. And he's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about a bride. I don't care, brother, sister, if you fall in a gutter. You must smell like a rose. If you're a Christian, won't hear to you. You mean to tell me if you're in a gutter and come out of the stinking gutter of this world, you're going to smell like this stinking world? No, not when you've got the balm of Gilead on you and the garments are filled with myrrh. And the smell of the rose of Sharon. Right. Yeah. I don't care if this message becomes abomination around the world. I told you I got a letter from Caracas, Venezuela. And they said, oh my God, this is a place full of cults. And the worst of all is the Branham cult. And bugged me one little bit. I don't care if it gets 10 times worse. It says right here, at the time of apostolic authority, there were divisions. Alpha's Omega, you're going to have division. But in it, there's a pure word. The women got to rebelling first because they can't stand male authority. Equal rights amendments have come to the church. And some of you women still wear your skirts just to where you shouldn't wear it. And you can't be told anything. You, the Bible calls you, find out for yourself. I'm not going to be too rude this morning. I want to be nice and sweet. Got folk from the old country. That can make me nice and sweet. The blood of Jesus failed, I tell you that. Now, ain't nothing going to make me nice and sweet. It's impossible. Look at the grace of Paul. I partly believe it. What a sweet fella there. Now he said here, it's manifest, O. When you come together, everyone taketh before his own supper. If yet in the days of Paul, they hodgepodge the message. Some took this part, some took that part. In our day, Alpha's Omega, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to do the thing I've screamed about all my life and been called the filthiest names under high heaven by a man supposed to be my brother, wrote a letter about me. Because I dared to say, don't you take quote, and fight by quote. Know the doctrine. Well, the same guy had fire at his feet. If the pillar of fire stands in a man's feet, then he's bigger than God, so that shows that he is. His own picture he sent up showed what he was. Oh, come on, smart enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Divisions. Divisions. People want a certain portion of the word. Brother Brown said that's where Eve failed. She didn't want one word. They added the word and that did the whole messed up thing. That's why you got a mess today. People don't want to believe the seven thunders. They don't want to believe the capstone is down. They want to believe the capstone is up. They still got the picture on the wall. The head's going way up here and a space in between. How can you have a space in between if the capstone is down? You leave a space in there, anything can take place. That's why you're such a mess with Junior Jackson running over there with his church order all out of order. Refuse to put the church order in.
Okay. No, I said, what do you, have you not house eating, drinking? I said, for I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. You know that Paul didn't know one thing about the rites of the Lord's Supper, foot washing? You know he got a direct from God? Nobody came by and told him anything? Because the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. We didn't have a prophet who had to search through the Bible to find things out. We had a prophet the word of the Lord came to, then he went to the Bible. Amen. To make sure the spirit that was talking was exactly right. And it checked out. And then he goes on to say, there are many wicked sitting among you. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now how in the world are you going to judge yourself? There's only one way anybody can judge himself, and that's by the word, because you and I cannot do otherwise. Let's go over here to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 4th chapter. I'm sorry, am I preaching too mean? I don't mean to be. I'm just angry because of what goes on, and I just spew it out. I'm sorry. I just get so fed up with people not believing the true and living God and Him amongst us and trying to put honor on some man or some men or something. When look, brother, sister, if we kid, it'll take billions of years to even begin to start to praise Him. And don't tell me we're going to start praising Him then if we're ignoring Him here. What kind of a marriage is it when the wife ignores the husband? I'll tell you what it ends in, divorce. I had a good friend up in Canada, Arnie Perry, sweet real boy, real fine boy. The mother-in-law came to live with him. She had a chance to marry a real nice rich man, a widower, like she was a widow. Oh, she wouldn't move out, and the daughter kept her there. And it's a small house that got to the place where Warren Arnie's nerves, Warren more and more, and he wasn't looking at the women. He didn't go with women. And one day he told her, he said, it's all over. Oh, I'll change. He said, look, he said, how can I fall back in love? I've fallen out. They had a divorce. 2 Thessalonians speaks of a divorce. Matthew 25 said, I used to know he is my wife, but I don't know he is my wife any longer. Yeah. Right. Okay. Now it says here, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharp and any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit and joins and marrows, and is a discerner in thoughts and intents of the heart, neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That's the judge. That's Christ, the judging word. Notice it goes from the word of God to the word His. Showing you that Brother Branham was correct. Christ, the word. And you know something? I've got the books. And I can show you that only in the first church age did they use the word logos continually. And the word logos never came back in fashion and isn't to this day, really, until Brother Branham preached it. Then pick up Christianity, Ray. After Brother Branham came on the scene, it was logos, logos, logos. But not before. I've got the books. I'm not kidding. I've got the history books. I have got the textbooks. Wasn't there. You know why? Because at the end time, he's got to be Omega because his name is called the Word of God. See? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible gives you the clue as to the word as what the flesh of Jesus Christ at the last is. It says, the only begotten the Father, who is in the bosom, hath exegeted, thoroughly brought him into view by words. The flesh of the Holy Ghost today is the Word. Then don't make it William Branham.
Amen. Yeah.
William Branham's a prophet, but he ain't God.
Amen.
Fine man, but he ain't a Savior. And he's dead. Couldn't take God. Listen, if God had to raise Jesus, my Christ, William Branham will stay there for eternity unless God raises him. Because only Jesus had the authority to lay down his life. But Brother Branham was taken from him.
The judge. Paul says here, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chasing the Lord, and we should not be condemned. Now, doesn't that sound exactly as the third chapter of Revelation over here? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Why? Because they were judging wrong. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not, you're wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and blind. The fellow in Europe that got into adultery said the same thing to his girlfriend to get her messed up. Oh, well, he said, $250,000 a year is coming in, and we must be okay because we're being blessed to God. And he taught polygamy. Now, why did he marry the girl and take her into his home? He had her at home without benefit of marriage. I know the girl. She was pretty smart and proud back in Canada. She talked about the sword in Germany and the pillar of fire and everything else and the gifts operating on the floor and how great God was living in adultery. Don't come to me that way! You got smelling a million miles off. Spiritual adultery goes into physical. There's got to be a manifestation. That's why there's incest today. Not so bad. Worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not against sex. I'm all for it. The bed's undefiled if you're married. I'll clip you right where it belongs. I'm not afraid to talk anything in the pulpit. I'd profit God a little bit misunderstanding me one day about it. And you know how my nature is. I can put on a sort of a... I don't know. Well, you know what I mean. Prophet knew what I was like. And I was grumping. That's the word. I was grumping. And I was grumping about sex. Because it's, you know, it's on every billboard. It's everywhere. And he thought I was grumping about the fact that I was maybe enjoying it. And he said, oh, that's okay, Lee. You can do it as often as you want. He said, you're married. I said, Brother Branham, I wasn't talking about me and my sex life. I was talking about the fact that what's a refrigerator got to do with a naked woman?
Amen.
Or a car. Now, I'm not against nakedness in the home when you're married. I'm not against... Let's get that into your minds now. I am not puritanical. Neither am I satanical. What you do according to Scripture is legitimate. Let's get this straight. I'm going to go a million miles every which way, which I don't care two bits if I go up and down inside out. Let me tell you this fact. Many a man may come home. A woman may plead a headache. Her husband's got a right to her. Headaches may be just a gag or something else. On the other hand, a woman may desire the man, and he can't walk out in there with the boys.
Amen.
Ha ha! How you like that one?
Amen.
Well, you say, well, it's up to the man. It ain't up to the man. The Scripture says so.
You better learn to be compatible.
And also, let's tell the women flat. It's very flattering to a man, the husband, that is, if he feels that she wants him. You say, Brother Bill, why are you talking this way? Because the church has a man called Jesus the husband, and he's been wanting spiritual intercourse to bring forth spiritual children. And he hasn't got it. That's why there's a stinking mess right here all over the world. It manifests in the flesh. It's got to come forth.
Well, so you folks sitting here know why I preach the way I preached back in Norway that time. That's why I don't go back to any more camp meetings. I'm tired of camp meetings and all those spirits. You can have them.
Every preacher under high heaven living in sin and rottenness and preaching all kinds of corruption. Paul set the church in order and made Christ the head.
Amen.
And I preached the Prussian, showed you by the word of God, letter by letter, that he is here. He is here. The Holy Ghost is here. God himself is here.
Amen.
And people are not there either looking back or looking down the road. They're looking at William Branham or some prophet or some preacher. They don't know the capstone's down. They don't know the headship is here. They don't know he's here to put himself at the head of the church and to raise the dead. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you by scripture chronology.
That's what the message is all about this morning. The judging word. Now, he said, you better judge yourself. He said, because a lot of sickness. Brother Van said, one person can keep that whole church from being healed.
You know what, brother? We're selfish. That's our whole trouble. We're all selfish. All we think of is the relationship to Almighty God. I preached and showed you last summer and showed you this church would go ahead or go back according to how we took the vertical to the horizontal. That same Holy Spirit, my brother, that you and I want to contact, and we want to be so this about and so that about, we forget it's the same Holy Spirit that goes back and forth in each member and makes us all one. And the Scripture says when they have become one with Him, and they know it, the world will know that Jesus Christ has been sent. I believe there's coming a time upon this earth when the people will know too late that He's here. They're going to see it in the bride. Because He not only in us, He's with us. And there's a definitive headship, my brother, my sister. I can't explain it. But there's a mystical union going on, the prophet said. I'm talking about it. See? Now, he said we wouldn't be judged. We'd be chastened. And when you come to come, tarry one for another. Now, I'm spiritualizing some of this, but I'm showing you the chronology. And he said, the rest I'll set in order when I come. I will set in order when I come. Paul, how are you going to do it? Are you some big mouth fat head that's going to sell us a bill of goods? No! I'm going to get commandments from God. When I get there, he said, you what? Who do you think brought the thunders down to earth? Revelation 10 and 1 said it was the Logos. The same one sitting on the throne that John saw. The emerald, the amber, the rainbow was nothing but the fire of God burning and going over that throne and the Logos within it. And that mighty messenger came down, the Logos came down. There's a pillar of fire. We've got to have a prophet. No other way. You and I can't see it. I'm going to set them in order. Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And it's at this point that he set the church in order. Because it's in the book of Corinthians, and only in Corinthians does he speak of devils. And he speaks of spirit-filled people having communion with devils. I preached that last summer and showed you, Brother Branham was asked the question, Brother Branham, can a man full of the Holy Ghost with a genuine gift be used of the devil? And he said, now that's a good question. The answer was yes. Yeah. This is the age of deceit. I was scary, but that's just faith. It's the age of deceit. The age of the mind. Get it under control. Let those eyes blaze if something comes against the word, not against the person. I've dropped one word before, Brother Van Steen, go back like this and look a whole way through me. When he found out what I was thinking, he relaxed. I learned never to pull that one again. Because I was just kidding him. Certainly. You know you were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. You were hurried away blindly. Wherefore, give you to understand, watch it. Now, he mentions the one spirit being there. And he warns them of the danger of spiritism creeping in the church. Years ago I said, but after this message there's only one place to go, that's spiritism. I didn't know Brother Dan to bring out the fact that the high spiritual spiritism or to the world is the Roman Catholic Church they pray to the dead. I didn't know amongst us there'd be people praying to William Branham in his name either. They're doing it. I'm not discouraged. Everybody can pray William Branham's name. I'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, but Brother Bale, what if they get results and you don't? Well, I'll go to hell that way. Fine. Amen. I'm sorry about that, but I'm committed. There comes a day when you got to get committed, brother, sister. I want to ask you, look, why did you think I came out? And boy, have I come out. I come out of a dozen things. Now I want to ask you, if I was so dumb I had to keep coming out, am I smart enough to find my way into the future? No. I got no hope except this message. Amen. To cling to it. Now he says here,
He said, he talks about gifts. He said they're of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't say they're of the devil, even though the devil can creep in. And unless you put them in that room and under surveillance, he will creep in. I think Adultery got in the sister over there. They boasted about all the gifts they had. The woman that prophesied so accurately about the man who had a baby by a woman, and then they carved the baby up and shoved it down the toilet. She went to the man. The prophecy was right. That's what he did. But then she saw the husband with a sword in his hand. Living in adultery? Come on. I'm not preaching this for the benefit of my Norwegian brethren, but it'll do them good to understand. You see why I take a stand? The way I had to take a stand, I've got to take a stand. I don't want to be controlled by the devil. I'm no prophet. I'm no super person. If I've got something, put it where the prophet said to put it. That's where Paul said, when you come together for this specific purpose. He didn't say you couldn't do it. He said, here's how you do it. The prophet of God said, I'd sooner, he said, it's why settle for the unreal when the heavens are full of the real. And he said, I'd sooner have nothing if they have that which is false. Believe me, brother, sister, I'm going to tell you something. If you ever went insane, you would be glad not to have a devil. So therefore, why would anyone want anything that is not genuine from God? He sets the church in order. And if Paul sets the church in order, he enumerates and shows what is in the top of the list. And that is the gifts that God has set in the church are, first of all, the fivefold ministry. There's where the true Holy Ghost is. Why? Because it's the Word. And it's not the Word of the preacher, it's the Word that was delivered to the preacher. That's why there's a mess. They couldn't even wait for Brother Branham to die before they hot-footed clean around the world to preach their own stuff. You wonder why I'm not hot-footing around the world. Sick of sitting there waiting for me to go around the world. I'm not interested. God says, go, I'm going to go. I hope. Maybe I missed it. I missed out in Tucson. I waited 1 week too long and I told her. I said, Allison, I missed it. I'm going 1 week too late. I didn't know why till I got home. Then I realized what it was all about. Perry had to go to Rome. I could have preached six more sermons up there. This is the first time. And all those years in Tucson, the people stood their mouths open waiting for the Word of God, hungering and loving it. Not because we were preaching. No, don't ever get that idea. The starting with the truth and the mind began to open to see what it was all about. The brother man was teaching how that great one was amongst them. They hadn't caught it. See? Preaching mechanics. You get out of the will of Almighty God. People ran in Paul's day with what wasn't the truth. See? Now, in the 13th chapter, he lets them know. Gifts are fine. They're good, but there's something else. Right after the gift. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 9, we know in part and prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in the part should be done away. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the very thing setting the church in order by the Word. And he said there's something more to come. Something that Paul could not deliver in that hour. He had the revelation for his hour, but he couldn't deliver in the hour beyond it. I'll prove it to you. Over here in the 12th chapter. The 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It distinctly says, leaving the principles and the doctrine and so on. And in verse, the doctrines of baptism, resurrection, journey, he said, and this we will do, we'll go on to perfection, and this we'll do if God permit. They hadn't come to perfection. The word perfection means conclusion, polishing, finishing off. They couldn't do it. And then it says here, at that time it is impossible, those once enlightened, once for all enlightened, taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the powers of the word to come. That's exactly Matthew 24. And not saying it shall fall away. It says, having fallen away, they can never get back. They can never change their mind. Impossible. They'll go right the way they're going when they run flat against the end time. And they did. They run flat against the end time. The people say, well, who ever heard of Brother Branham? Well, I ask you, who did? And you know why they didn't hear about him? Because they killed him before he even died. Who killed him? The churches. You think they didn't come to see him and hear him? Come on, don't be a bunch of nuts. I know what happened. As soon as he said there was one God, he killed it. Because there's got to be three of them. I can take Scripture and kill one God right now. There is one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And man is not God and God is not man. I kill one of them right there. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the same one that went up came back as the Holy Spirit that killed another one. One God left. Amen. Praise God. Eliminated the two of them. I'm not being foolish, facetious. Don't talk to me about your stupid Trinity. You're an idolater. Amen. Calvin had service killed at the stake for that. We're a little too numerous, I think, then to pull a deal like that, but they could shut us out and starve us. W. Squeeze, come on down. Don't think you won't suffer for this end time. They suffered the first. They're going to suffer at the end. This is the age of all diabolical cunning. This is the age of the craftiness. Thou shalt not surely die. Millions now living will not die. That's a lot of lies in the pit of hell. Billions will die. Only the bride's going to get away. If I was in the days of Noah, how many? Eight. And don't count me, it's going to be different. And the days of Sodom, how many? Two, three. Fourth and blanked out. Don't talk different. You're not going to get me to believe anything's not Bible. I don't care what a man says. You can, encourage yourself. Go ahead and encourage yourself in the lies. The prophets of Baal did too. Well, they have 400 prophets. They said, like Brother Brown, how he hit that so perfect. Doesn't the Bible say it's ours? Didn't God give it to us? Come on, let's take it. Well, they say, hallelujah, that's wonderful, that's logical, that's great. 400 says, so let's go. And the old boy, I'm not forgetting, it doesn't matter anyway. He stood back and he said, go ahead. Fine. Have a party. Have a ball. God's with you. They caught his sarcasm. He's another sarcastic boy. I like him. Sarcasm right place ain't going to hurt nobody. It's not going to hurt anybody. Go ahead. But he said, what I saw was Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. He said, throw him in prison when I get back. He said, if you ever get back. God never spoke. So they thought they'd trick God. You know what God said about a guy that tried to trick him? He said, the man that tried to escape the lion, the bear got him. Don't fool with God. If any man think himself spiritual problem, let him acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of God. Not Paul supreme in office, but the Word of God supreme in office. Not William Branham supreme. No, but the Word of God supreme. And if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You talk about sarcasm. My sarcasm, 20th century, Paul, is it. If you want to stick your hand in the meat grinder, go ahead. Just don't come squalling to me. That's what Paul said right here. If any man finger, go ahead. But I want to tell you something he said. You better get things in order and decent. Now listen. After 13 here, where Paul said that which is perfect is to come, and that which is in part to vanish away, as Brother Branham said, what is perfect but God, and what is God but the Word, and that's true, because look at you and I cannot deal with God personally. You cannot approach unto Him. And if you can't approach, how are you going to talk to Him? And if you can't see Him, how do you know where to go to talk to Him? You're stuck. So God had prophets. 12th chapter, first of Hebrew, first chapter of Hebrews. And I know people don't want to believe this. God in the divers manner spoke to us unto the fathers in the prophet, unto the fathers in the prophets, not by but in. And the last day spoken unto us in His Son. And they say, see, He spoke in the last days. He's not speaking again. But over in Hebrews 12, it says He speaks one more time from heaven. So shut up your nonsense and read the whole Bible. Big mouth women preachers, especially on this one. Because it's a shape of the bit in that gun. I got one special person in mind.
But burning up, she had $1,500 of my money to go down to the islands to blaspheme God. You say, Brother Bill, did you give it or no? I didn't give it. It was my wages. Listen to my wife. Don't ever listen to your wife, man. You're going to get your neck cut. $1,500. You owe me. Well, she's more than earned it. She more than earned it. She can have it all, as far as that goes. But she was wrong. I should have got my $1,500. Because she went down to the island with a woman missionary. Women, stay home and take care of your kids. See? You should have them. It's your heritage. Brother Bram said a sacred vessel for childbearing. That's a peculiar thought, isn't it? A hoopy vessel for fun. That's what men think. Something wrong somewhere. He said here, that which in part is going to be done away. And he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, did childish things. But he said, became a man and put away childish things. And this is talking about gifts. This is even talking about the finer qualities of fruit. Spoke as a child, understood. I command. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Paul said there's a time coming when once more it'll be face to face. Because Paul had already spoken face to face and that time was over. Was gone. Was finished. This is 59 A.D. And he said, 14 years after, went up to Jerusalem in the book of Galatians to find out whether I had spoken the truth or not. The pillar of fire had gone. The message was over. But he said, there's coming a day when it's face to face again. There's coming a day when it's no longer darkness. In other words, the church will get put into an order it never was in an order before. Because listen, at that time it was not he that is holy still, and he that is righteous, righteous, and he that is unholy still, and so on. There is a day coming of separation where there is a bride, and all of that of God is centered in her, where she becomes all things, and he becomes all things to her, and everything else is outside the gates, and there's whoremongers, and liars, and adulterers, and fornicators, the whole thing's out there. But the bride's a little sacred body unto Jesus Christ. To bring forth the man. You'll never get into Eve until that bride's ready. Now, I'm going to tell you flat, it's not going to be ready till into the resurrection. You might as well get used to it. It'll go into the resurrection. We're literally into it right now, don't worry. Now, we know in part. And he said, then shall I know even as I am also known. In other words, I'm going to know him, and he is going to know me, and that has nothing to do with meeting him face to face up there. That has everything to do, as I've showed you time after time in Ephesians, the first chapter, when the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him comes into the church, the eyes of understanding being lightened, you may know what the hope of his calling, not yours, but his. You're going to learn all about him as Redeemer. What did Brother Brown do when he opened the seals? The Redeemer stepped forth with the book of redemption to claim his own. He showed who it was. Here's Melchizedek. I'm going to quit pretty quick as I can, because this sermon will go into hours. There's too many. There's just 101 thoughts that just keep coming and coming, because it's all interrelated. Because see, the whole Bible is one book. You can't touch one subject, but you touch it all. There's not one theme, but what you touch it all. That's what Brother Branham said. If you see one word that doesn't bring forth Jesus Christ, one scripture, go over it again, you missed it. You say, well, how is that? Because either is what he directly said, or what he directly did, or what he said and they wouldn't do, or what he said and what they did do. It's all related. And it's all related to man. The Bible is all what God said and what man would do about it, or what wouldn't do about it, and then what God did. But it always came back to grace. Oh, grace, amazing grace. If it weren't for grace, brother, sister, I don't care how tremendous you and I would be. But listen, it says right here, that we are going to know. We're going to know the plan. We're going to know the calling. We're going to know about the inheritance. Not ours, but his now. And we're going to know the exceeding greatness of his power that raised him. It's going to raise us. It's going to raise the dead. It's going to put us in a rapture. It's going to put everything under it. With him. See? We're going to know. Now, in the 14th chapter, he goes on. And he's speaking more concerning gifts because he's putting the church more and more in order. And he is explaining why he had to put the church in order. See? Now, watch. And this is what I'm getting to. In chapter 15, after, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. It's in the Word. See? Now, what kind of a man would William Branham have been to say, every preacher preaches 45 minutes, but I can't do it? It's like Jesus saying, everybody quit chewing tobacco, but I'm struck. Let me tell you what I believe behind all this stuff. William Branham distinctly said when they came out of Egypt, they had the pillar of fire and a prophet, but they wanted the law. That's true. I showed you in Scripture where that is. And people kept coming. They couldn't sit and listen. It was yak, 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 yak. Ask, 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 ask. Question, 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 question. How many songs? How many? Why don't you shut up and sit still? Don't you think God would have given exactly what they needed? But no. They had to mess around. As they did in Moses' day, as they did in Paul's day, William Branham's day. But there's a bride that will just stay with the Word. Hallelujah. And if you fill up easy, you've been here for 1 hour and 5 minutes, go on home and get out. You've had your 45 minutes. I'm not kidding. If you don't feel like staying, go on. Your brother veil, you're hanging tough. I'm hanging tough for one reason. This is a democracy. You can do what you want about this message. Just the same as I'm doing. I'm not through preaching. If you're through listening, good. You may go home. If you're hungry, I'll pay for your dinner. Now look. He never threw gifts out. He said, don't forbid to prophesy. Put it under order. Don't knock out tongues. Put it under order. The Baptist and everybody else knocked out tongues and the Christian missionary line blasphemed God. Because when the fire fell in Nyack, where the headquarters was, they said it's all of the devil. They lost right there. They died. They died. And the stench has gone through the world. Nazarene's the same thing. Brother Branham saw the man make the preacher making love to a corpse. How you like that one? Baptists did the same thing. They died. He warned you and me never, never, never call that of the devil because it's not of the devil. It's God. Because it's a gift of God, but not God per se. He said, if I give you my pen, I don't give you myself. I give you a gift. So therefore, you can have a gift without being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Anybody can get gifts. The Bible speaks of anointing at the end time. Upon all flesh, your sons and my sons, your daughters and my daughters. That's Acts the second chapter. And he said right afterward comes the great tribulation. So therefore, if you want tongues and things all over the floor in Europe, be my guest. You cut your throat, I didn't. Now, Lee Bale ain't sweet, sweet, sweet. But he's right, right, right.
Amen.
And I'd sooner be right, right, right. And by the right, right, right stock, then the sweet, sweet, sweet stock, there goes it. I am right. There's a tape that was played right in the church from 1958. Brother Branham sat at his own desk and dictated that tape. And right in his own handwriting, you still got it? Put it on the bulletin board so you can see it out there. In Brother Branham's own handwriting, he said, this goes with the minutes and the orders of the church. And he put it all in the middle of the room. No, I don't care how often Brother Jackson runs to Europe and tells you people in Europe, that ain't so. I've got news to you. It is so.
Amen.
Do what you want.
Praise the Lord.
I'm no moment. Nobody's going to say it to the devil. Only time the devil will get in, though. He'll get in. It's already in. When he gets the word, that's how he got in. He didn't say to Eve, there's no God. And he didn't say she wasn't fruitful. He just said, you won't die. Now, he was right. She couldn't die eternally. Because he knew the life of Adam, which came from God, was in her.
Amen.
But she died physically. There's a bride, my brother and sister's not going to die physically. Something's got to happen to her. She's got to get back where Eve was. Not one word added, not one word taken. Now, listen.
after the church is set in order, and Christ is made the head by the word, he now speaks of the resurrection. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now notice what he said about his preaching. Oh, you say this fellow really is something. You bet he really was something. You've got to know God to talk like this fellow. You've got to have more than just yakety yak. Would to God you'd bear a little in my folly and indeed bear with me. Oh, he said, I know when I talk about the pillar of fire meeting God face to face, he said in that same way. He said, you just didn't bear it. You know a fellow down in Beaumont's foot with Pentecost, the one his preacher said? He's dead now. He said, Brother Branham's visions were no different from Swedenborg's. You ever read Swedenborg? Haven't you, anybody? Oh, pick up a book sometime. Jolly, jolly. That's a great, merciful God. If that man, supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost, and makes Brother Branham's visions like Swedenborg's. You know, the Christ of Philadelphia Church. What a mess. I'm jealous over a God's a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband. I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear that any means that the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, smartness. So your minds, M-I-N-D-S, mind. You got a better way than the Word. Oh, nobody's got a better way in the Word, because the Word made all these things by the laws of God, all things are maintained. Why does not this building fall down? Because man's smart? No, because of certain laws. But I fear, he said, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, and they did. A third person, Trinity. The second, I don't know where they put it, it doesn't matter to me. I think they relegated the Holy Ghost to sort of a nasty place they put in one side. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, great, thank you, Lord God. And very nice little one. And, you know, not too much third one. How could anybody be ill? Or receive another spirit? Yeah, he said you could. A spirit can be in the church opposite to what Paul had in his church. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the life of the Word. How could you have the life of God and not have the Word of God? Or how could you have the Word of God and not have the life of God? That's why it's the mind. Not some sensation. I'm not against sensations. They're great, but put them where they belong. Sensations are fine, and a good happy feeling about Jesus, about your brothers and sisters, and good attitudes, that's great. See? But haven't you had a good feeling about even going out the wrong door? I get mixed up horrible in direction. If I go in a revolving door, I'm revolved. Right there, I tell you flat. I've been going down the road very happy, find out, hey, I better look at the sun. Hey, man, look at the map again. Wow, you missed. Good thing you had a route ticket that time, but turn around and go back. Can't go by feeling. Another gospel. See? Now, back again to 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. And he said here, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also receive, wherein you stand, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory. He said, that doesn't sound good. A sower went forth to sow, and the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and ate it. The thorns, the rocks, that crushed it out, the thorns, you know, choked it out. So is the word. They wouldn't keep it there long enough to get someplace. How do you think some folk became deed in this message? Because they looked at certain things and a woman said, well, he's got to be Jesus. If he was Jesus, then Moses was Jesus, and Jesus was Jesus, and Hagapian was right. He had a vision, he said, and he saw Miriam, or whatever her name was, sister, but the mother, whoever it was, of Moses, and great with child, and lo, Moses came forth. And then he saw Mary, she was great with child, and Jesus came forth. And then he saw his own mother, and he came forth, and said, oh, shoot. Remember, we were there. He came fifth reading. He lost the race. He didn't come forth.
Yeah, what a mess. Ascended masters. Let me tell you flat, if William Branham is Jesus, then Jesus is Jesus, and Moses is Jesus, and so is any great man Jesus. Ascended masters, that's what it is. Spirit is. I told you this. I told you years ago we'd go to it. Spiritism, my brother, sister, is so subtle it gets you a thousand ways. And it'll look just like God. Because at the end, the two spirits are so close. I'm not, this is Lee Dale talking, but I believe. And I'm not saying I believe this strong as I'm banking on it. But I have my thoughts on the Antichrist that comes out of America. That he will be so identified with Jesus in every single thing, they will be completely fooled that he is. And said, well, didn't he promise to come back in the body?
Well, here he is.
Hasn't the church always said we'll bring him back? Here he is. Now, come on, the Catholic Church depends on that. They're going to bring the millennium on earth where they bring him back. Oh, boy, if this is the millennium, please don't give me any more. If this is a squeeze 2,000 years in good health, I can take it. But the millennium, I want something better. I'm ready for heaven. Heaven is not ready for me that much, I guess. Now, Paul says here, wherein you stand if you keep in memory, unless you believed in vain. People are going to turn from this message like flies before it's over and get all messed up. Believing in vain. Middle of the road's not good enough. Too tame. I'm not going to break down. I've got a sermon I'm going to preach sometime. It'll go around the world. When it does, I'm gone. Either I'll blow my brains out of the dude for me because I'm going to preach on Jesus the man. That's going to blow everything higher in a kite. All this nonsense. Not because I'm going to preach it, but I mean it before God. As far as I'm concerned, it'll turn. It could turn about everybody against me because I am not an idolater. I worship God who is spirit through a man who is Jesus Christ risen from the dead, seated on the mercy seat behind the throne. And he was a man. And he is a man. He's a man right now. And he will not be God incarnate until the wedding supper. And after the wedding supper and the white throne judgment, he will become a man again with a pillar of fire over him. He's a man. And there's only one man like him. Well, put it this way, there's only one man, period, who is he? I can't even say one man like him because that's ridiculous. That's like two men. There is only one man. Who is like unto you? Now listen. Unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what the Bible actually says about the sins that he died for? Now look, in one place he lives to make intercession for the sins you're doing now, so he didn't die for them. Except in a specific way the blood stands there to scatter. He died for every sin that every man committed before he was born again, and for every sin he would commit that was down the road in the sense before that person was born again. He died for every sin, that blood standing there waiting for the hour to purge everyone so they could come out of the grave and get those resurrection bodies. But I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, when you talk about the living hour now, it's because Jesus is making intercession. We've got somebody on our side that says, Father, no way, no way can you let him go. Lose none. According to Scripture, he died for your sin. I'm not going to go in this morning. Just suggest we read Isaiah 53. He rose the third day according to Scripture. That's Psalm 16. He was seen as Cephas. You say, just a minute. He was seen as Mary. He was, but she's not mentioned. He was seen to 500 of at one time. I didn't know that. Paul said so. I didn't know that. Paul knew by revelation. When did he appear to 500? How many is he appearing to today? But he's appeared. He has appeared. I'm sorry. I don't care what the theologians say, brother. I've got just as much as it read as the theologians they have. Because I don't have to know all the Greek. I just have to go look to a few words. And I say, then tell me, what about it? When it says the presence, and that is anything visible
to the eye. You show me what's visible to the eye of God, and I'll take you to John 15 and 24 and prove it to you. If I had not done the works of the man did, they had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now go to the Church of Christ and say, what about divine healing? Devil! They hate God. Oh, we love God! Then the Bible's a lie. Spit on, throw in the garbage. That much for the Church of Christ. Sorry about that. Come on, are you with me? Aren't you with me? I don't need your amens. I mean down. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Look, you draw your line in this word. I don't care about your rotten stinks in churches like you came out of anything else. Any more than I came about Pentecost, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Baptist, what I came out of. I came out of all that stuff. There's a Presbyterian kid. It's too bad that I couldn't get saved. My God, the old boy was saved, but I wasn't. He couldn't get to me. He's too young, I guess. And it says some of those are dead, but most of them are still alive. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that the true bride, the real true bride, I used to think that most of them would die, but according to Scripture, it looks as though maybe not too many are going to die after all. Those that stood to this word will be standing here. Then he's seen of James and of all the apostles. I didn't know that. I didn't know the chronology there. I wonder if Paul's chronology was right, or was he worried about chronology? But he says after that. Maybe we'll see the dead come back little at a time. That is, I don't mean to come back little at a time, but I mean we'll see them little at a time. I don't know. Then he said, it seemed to me the least of the whole bunch, because I persecuted the Church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now listen, we're going to go on. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Now listen, I want you to notice something here. This followed the gift. You hear what I'm saying? This followed the gifts. When they had the church in order, as Brother Branham said in Ephesians, there was no correction but revelation and grace. But under here they took the gifts out of order. And you know what happened? They got united against the Word of God. And the Word of God lost out. Because now they're preaching a false doctrine. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. It came right out of Canada and the United States both in latter rain that there isn't any resurrection. But there is. There is. Now listen. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Now watch what he's saying here. See? They left the headship of the church. They went straight to gifts. I can bring a man right in here this morning if I could get him in here. He's over in Seattle now. And he preaches from a tape. Brother Branham said the gift of the word of wisdom in the church is where a man has a gift by the Holy Ghost whereby he can go to Scripture and answer any Scripture question. And who needs Brother Branham? You better be careful what Brother Branham says and where he says and how he says and why he says. Just like right here. The church was messed up under gift. They left the word under gift. Therefore, the word must become preeminent before any gift will truly operate. Then the spirit of the people must be truly right before you can even want to go in there and do something. Because when you do, it's for the people in the church because there's a need. It's not because I'm going to prophesy, hallelujah. It's like that woman. She kept prophesying every night. And finally she said to Billy Paul, I'm the one that prophesied last night, and I got another message tonight. The brother man walked her. She's fixing her skirt and fixing it. She should have pulled him down maybe. I don't know what she's doing. She's already under condemnation. And as soon as she jumped up, he said, woman, sit down. I think he told her to be quiet or shut up or something, which was all right, too. I had to tell a man one time in my meeting, I was preaching, he'd make noise. I said, brother, I said, cut it out. They can't hear what I'm saying. And what I'm saying, they need. Amen. I guess they didn't like it. I didn't like it myself because they had to say it. But
gifts out of order. The word always goes out the door when gifts are out of order. That's what happened to Eve. She got babies all right, but look where she put it. Corruptible seed. Now, if there's no resurrection, Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. Now, notice what it says right here. That if there's no resurrection of the human body, to come back here as natural men and women. Now, they're sexless in the terms of there could be, on my understanding, no children born. Because in the resurrection, there is no such thing as male and female reproducing. There's not marriage. There's compatibility of companionship and love and beauty. And we're all one wife, is the word of Christ. And all one body and member to each other. See, that's exactly what it is. But it says right here, if that does not take place, Paul says, then our faith is vain. Do you realize what I'm trying to say this morning? I've been saying it all along in different sermons here. You cannot bypass the physical mortality of man that comes into immortality. Immortality and eternality are bound hand in hand. Don't ever think of being an angel or some spirit or spook or something. Because it says right here, if there is no resurrection, Christ died in vain. That's true. Because if there's no resurrection, how do we get restored and put back in Eden? How do we get the command of God fulfilled, the word of God fulfilled? There's got to be a resurrection. There has got to be a resurrection. Now, God's got to bring about the resurrection as nobody else can. He put a flaming sword there and said, you'll not get immortality until the hour comes. Now, it says here, and it said, yea, and we are found fault witness to God, because we testified he raised up Christ, whom he raised up if the dead be not raised. For if Christ rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sin. I know, hold it. If Christ be not raised and you are not believing this moment in the physical resurrection, there's something wrong. You're still in your sins. See, Brother Bill, that's way, way down the road somewhere. It could be this, it could be that. It could not be. It is now. We're not waiting years and years, brother, sister. We are not waiting that long. The dead can appear at any time. The whole plan of God hinges on this moment, waiting breathlessly. All creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God this last hour when God dynamizes His Word in human bodies. And Word becomes flesh, and flesh becomes Word, and Word becomes the Word. And the bride becomes that all in all, which means all the Word of God. Toward her is fulfilled, and she stands there, living Word. I'm not preaching manifest of sons of God here somewhere. Everybody got a great ministry. Hallelujah. Everybody may have a super duper greater ministry because it's a super super church approaching the headstone. I don't know. I'm only going to preach the word as I understand it. And I'm preaching it to the glory of God that this is in order. What lies in there, I don't know. But it's coming. Because it said, if Christ be not risen, you got a vain faith. If there's no resurrection, you got a vain faith. In other words, the whole thing is all messed up. And they which fell asleep in Christ are perished. Look at he ends it. Then how tremendous the resurrection must be. And the millennium that lies ahead of it. Now who understands that? When does God dynamize that to us? He'll do it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, there is no life outside the body. I've been preaching that. And every time I go to Scripture, I find myself 100% right. That's why Brother Branham said, he was so happy to know. Listen, before God, I don't know how he ever got his thinking. But he said he thought when he died, he'd be like a little cloud floating along. And here's Brother Neville, a little cloud floating along. And he was so happy to know there are people he could hug and to kiss. Hey, he didn't get affectionate or effeminate and all that kind of junk. But he could hug them and love them. And such a purity. And he said, I'll never be the same again. He got a glimpse by vision. By actual going there for all I know. I don't know and I care less. But he came back and he said, I'll never be the same again. He saw what Paul saw. There's a reality. I shall not die but live.
You don't need to worry about being all crusted up, crusted up, barnacle up individual you are. That's all going to be gone.
Amen.
Look, what would you be like this morning without sin? Never mind your... Never mind your features, on features. I'm talking about something way deeper in features. I'm talking about a reality. What would you be like without sin? You're sitting here this morning like I'm standing here, and you literally hate yourself. If you, like, remember when you were a kid, I wish I'd have been born in that family because it's such a nice thing. Yeesh. Family of God. Sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, but a reality is missing because people are not listening concerning what Brother Bannon taught in the resurrection. Came right back from... But a reality, what would you be like without sin? You're sitting here this morning like I'm standing here, and you literally hate yourself. And you, like, remember when you were a kid, I wish I'd have been born in that family because it's so much nicer. Yeesh. Family of God. Sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, but a reality is missing because people are not listening concerning what Brother Branham taught in the resurrection. Came right back from a visitation beyond the curtain of time. And said, I saw them. And they were beautiful. Women with their hair hanging down their waist. Men with hair a little longer, I guess, than you've got ours. But short hair, not long like women. In the youth, the dew of youth and the beauty of holiness. 18, 19 years of age. I'll ask this morning, do you want to die or do you just want to get changed? Do you really want to blow your brains up because you get so far down and so disgusted? Or is it, oh God, isn't there something different, something better? And Paul says there is to the individual. You're not going to be your mother, your father, sister, brother, somebody else. You're going to be you.
Amen.
But you'll be the you you always wanted to be. God intended. But it's on the other side of the curtain, my brother, my sister. But before there's even one person living that's in the bride of this hour, maybe left on earth, maybe they'll all be waiting to be taken. They'll all be taken. I'm going to tell you, that sweep is going to go over the people. They're coming to a place of maturity where they'll walk to that tree of life. That's what it says right here. That's what Easter's all about. Resurrection's all about. There's no life outside of the body. This body shall rise again. Brother Brand said, if I drop this handkerchief and it comes up a book, he said, that's replacement. He said, I dropped the handkerchief, got to come up a handkerchief. See? Now he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I want to tell you something, brother, sister. Christ is risen amongst us. Risen amongst the creeds and dogmas that chained and bound him for 2,000 years. Took a bride out of her creeds and dogmas into spiritual resurrection. Now is Christ risen. Proven he's risen amongst us. Showed that he was. There is a resurrection. It's right around the corner this morning. I'm so bold to say what I saw in Canada is over this morning. I believe it's over. I believe the show has gone by. I believe we're to a place where the last one is called in. I don't know. You haven't got long, don't worry. I don't say this because I'm 65. Don't have too much time, even according to the grace of God. It would be 5 years, which I care less. So the ship is, what, 78? It's 8 years past. But feeling pretty good, thank God. He's got the good as health as he's got. Come on, tell you, brother, sister. Let's get this straight. You and I can fool around. And we can disbelieve. But like the prophet said, I'm looking for a bride of such character. Not the kind of character people talk about, but a character. Listen to that message. Stand still in the waters of separation until she's dressed in that virgin bridal investiture that makes her different. Some of you women can't stand still. Some of you men can't stand still. You'll miss it if you don't stand still. You must keep in mind. Don't get your own screwed up ideas of what's moral and what's holy, this and that. Just some of you are drifting that way already. You got a self-righteousness that sticks up 4 feet on each side. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm crude. My sermons are X-rated. I couldn't. No. I'm not trying to defend myself like Paul Jones said it was because I'm hard. At least I don't believe in polygamy and other men's wives and everything else. Let's get that flattened.
I may be crass and crude, but I preach you the word of God the best I possibly can, brother, sister. And we are right nearing the resurrection. The door is opening, brother, sister. The spin is pulling away. That star won't stand there, Gene, too long. It'll break and go one way here into the resurrection. It's going to be wonderful for those that make it. Why don't I want to stand by with enough grace and say, praise God. God's truth. He did what he said he did. I can see William Branham in that resurrection like John the Baptist said, the friend of the bridegroom standing by and rejoices. And if I never got any higher than that, just to stand by and rejoice, I'd count myself lucky. Because it happened in our day, brother, sister. Alpha's Omega. Turn right around to the end, and I believe it was just about there. I'm not nervous. I know in Florida. They say, Brother Dale's getting awful nervous. He needs a vacation. I need the vacation, but I ain't nervous. Hey, because I'm crying. The fountain to deep don't get broken up too often. And I'll tell you, there is a God. I stand with that God in the Apostle Paul, who said, if Christ be not risen, it's vain. And if all we got in this life is just Christ, we don't have that resurrection, what is the use? Oh, it must be wonderful, brother, sister. It must be marvelous. It must be tremendous. I told you to talk to Brother Branham one time. I said, Brother Branham, I said, man, I said, I look at people. I look at myself. I look at life. And I say, God couldn't have figured a better plan in all this world than have people. But what would it be like without sin? To have your own life, your own family, raise your children. It had to be that way, though. He said, me. We're talking about the millennium. Let me tell you something. God's children came down to a mixed multitude of the flesh. Noah was the last perfect human being. From that time on, it was election, God bringing his seed down, down, down. And I want to tell you something, brother, sister. There's some of you sitting here this morning, you're not the son of your father. You thought that man that carried those genes was your father. In the millennium, you may find somebody else that was your real father, because in the male ejaculate and in the female, she only has about 250,000 eggs. Men have billions and billions of sperm. You could have been anywhere in any person, but you had to come from God in the first place. I don't care who carried you. It's going to be one big family. And you'll trace every genealogy, trace right back, and it'll all go back to God. For as all died in Adam, all in Christ will be made alive. Every man in your order. There's a land beyond the river that they call that sweet river. Will only reach your shores by faith decree. One by one will reach his pardon. Care to dwell with the immortal. Oh, one day they'll ring those golden bells for you. Don't matter if you go out in death. I don't think we will. I believe it's right around the corner. But the chronology, brother, sister, as the living word was vindicated by a prophet, your chronology is vindicated right here. Because after the resurrection comes the rapture. After the rapture comes the tribulation. After the tribulation comes the millennium. And from then on, the sweetest honey in the rock, day by day and every day, for billions of years, the Lord bless you. Let's be dismissed. What's that song? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his word. Start it out with you.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music to my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Just relax and sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
because he first loved me, and I'll ever adore him. I'll ever adore him. I'll ever adore him because he first loved me into my heart.
If you're lost, sing it.
Into my heart. Coming to my heart, Lord Jesus. Coming today, coming to stay, coming to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your rich grace and mercy. We could continue singing praises, songs and chorus unto thee, Lord, for thou art worthy, and it is so good to get into a frame of mind of worship and of love and brokenness before you, Lord, for that does not seem to be our daily course of life. So good to come together to fellowship, and we pray, Lord, that the Spirit of grace and glory that floods our souls and the desire for the knowledge which is spiritual of yourself, Lord, by the Word, should linger with us and stay with us and fill our hearts and our minds constantly, O God. Be with us, Lord, to guide us in the affairs and things of life according to truth and according to our calling, not to our avocation, Lord, that we got to earn and make a living, that's fine. But, Lord, may nothing ever ascend above our true vocation, our true calling in Jesus Christ. Bless each one there for this morning. I pray that you have. I believe that you have, O God. That not one will leave here without being the richer for the grace and understanding and love and mercy and the wonder of our Savior, and walk in the light of His presence who has come amongst us. Not in this building here, no, Lord. We don't believe that. We believe you are here, but you're in other places too, for you have come to gather your bride around you, the great invisible union. So, Father, now, Lord, we just commend ourselves to your constant presence and our constant awareness of, oh, God, help us this morning. Help us, Lord, we pray, this day and every day, for this is where it lies, the reality of thy presence, the headstone, Christ himself, the husband making himself known to his mate, that she may truly believe. This we know to be true, Lord, and we just defy anything else and bring our minds into captivity to it. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing Take the Name of Jesus with you. So I just pray, Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the life which is in Christ, the same life which is in the Word. And you came to make us wise unto salvation, as now in the Word making us wise unto the end of salvation, to the last step of the way. And we thank you, Lord, that we have not been left by ourselves all through the ages. We have had the inner light within, but now we have had not only inner light within, but an outer light also. And the inner light witnessing to the outer light shows of what source and manner it is. And we pray, therefore, Lord, that we will have a witness in our heart tonight and a help by that Holy Spirit within, in perfect rapport with the great Holy Spirit without, whose flesh is the Word, and eating and living on it will put on immortality and come to the place where, bypassing death, will be caught up into a rapture. Lord, we're depending on you tonight, and believe you help us to that end with the study of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The danger of not using notes is very evident in my life, because You get your anointing before you come into the pulpit. And if I don't have my notes down after literally hours of putting them into order, my mind is spinning with 100 scriptures that belong to the subject, and it becomes terribly difficult to line them up without putting them down on paper so that I can go from point to point and weave back and forth. However, we started Sunday morning showing you that there was a chronology in the first age that was repeated in the last age because Alpha is Omega. And we know that that's true from the book of Revelation, but way back in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I presume it's the third chapter, I suppose, is it? I don't know. I never seem to know where anything is found if I don't put it down in print. But it's there somewhere. I could even be in the wrong book half the time, you know. So I'm afraid he said, no, it's not. That's got to be Ecclesiastes. Yeah, it's the 14th verse, and I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever, the third chapter. Nothing can be put to it nor anything taken from it, for God doeth it, that men should fear before him, and that which hath been now, and that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, in the end book of Revelation, God himself puts himself forward as Alpha and Omega, which means that he is bound to be at the end what he was in the beginning. And that is why Brother Branham said that he who appeared to the Jews as he did in the days of his flesh was duty bound to appear to the Gentiles. And we showed you that in the third chapter or second of the book of Acts, where Peter says he appeared first to you. And if there's a first, there would have to be at least a second, if not more than a second. Otherwise, he would have simply said he appeared to you. But when he used the word first, he let us know there'd be at least a second. And there is a chronology then that we began to view in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul is speaking, and I started there. I don't know why, but I was just led to start there. It's good as any place. I could maybe start someplace else also. But you starting there, I can revert back to all the rest of it, up to chapter 10 and so on. He said, follow me as I am all, even as I also am of Christ. Be followers. And the next verse says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. And here we find that Paul is speaking to them concerning the fact that he is following Christ according to the precepts that God gave him through the pillar of fire, because he said, I'm called a heretic by the way that I worship God. And he went to the Old Testament to prove everything that he taught in the New Testament, and by revelation was able to relate it to Jesus Christ. Now, he then goes on to let the church know that the headship of the church is Christ. And he could well say the head of God is Christ. Say God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. And the woman particularly, here I am typing in the spiritual as the bride, as which was in that time the true church. You'd call it the original church. And already that church was getting into sin even as the woman first got into sin. And you'll find that that's exactly what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I'm jealous over your godly jealousy, the law of the jealous husband. He figures his wife's been fooling around with somebody, but there's no proof he hasn't caught her in the act. So therefore, he's got to take her to the temple to give her the test that God gave, which is the word test. And, of course, the word test there was they take the sweepings off of the floor in a bowl of water mixed by the priest, and she drank it. And if she had not violated the law of her husband, he was just a suspicious person, nothing would happen. But if this was true, then as women's bowels and stomach begins to swell in pregnancy, this would cause her to begin to swell as though she were pregnant, showing that she had fooled around and yet had not actually gotten pregnant. So then, of course, she would be put to death. Now, also, in Timothy, Paul warns in Timothy that the woman must listen in silence. She cannot teach or usurp authority over the man. And that's in the church. It's in the home. It's everywhere. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And you can see by verse 15 what the transgression was, for it mentions childbearing. Now, if she'd have been simply sucking on lemons, he'd have said from then on her mouth would pucker up and she'd be pretty sour. You can tell right here what happened in the Garden of Eden was she got pregnant by the serpent, who wasn't an animal or other animals, of course, in the sense that we are animals also. He wasn't like he is today. And he was the, without a doubt, the boa constrictor, because he was a giant and he was black in color. But the blackness in color does not mean that it has anything to do with the Negro race, because they got their color by the soil and by the sun and various attributes of nature. And you must remember, all of us have the flesh of the serpent in us, so you wouldn't be too happy if you were trying to call your brother the black man serpent seed, because you're just a number for qualification. That area is a totally black person is. Actually, I believe that the blackness of the serpent is coming out in the sense of all the various colors, and I don't think that any one of us would really qualify to look like really Adam and Eve looked like in their actual original color. But anyway, the thought here is that he is, and I am bringing out here typing the woman in the church, because it's bringing in the headship of God with Christ in Christ. In Paul in Ephesians uses this in type as Christ married to a woman, which is Christ, the head of the bride, and the headship lies there. Now, you will notice in here that Paul is placing his headship as an apostle with the Word. And that Word came from Christ, who is the Word. Now, therefore, there is only one headship that the church can possibly have, and that is the headship of the Word, and Christ is the Word. And in the last day, Christ appearing amongst us has appeared by means of the veil of the flesh of the Word, because God cannot be seen without some creature form, and the creature form is the flesh of the Word. And the misunderstanding and the constant quoting of Brother Branham's quotes on God in human flesh and all those things have brought idolatry amongst us, until really Mount Olympus has nothing on the Branham message, so-called. For in this case, God came down and had two wives and five children. I'm sure God could do better than that if he wanted women. So you see, the whole thing is a rotten fallacy. If you don't understand the Scripture, and you don't understand doctrine, you quote, doesn't mean a hill of beans. It can destroy you. Now, he mentioned here that even concerning reproduction, it says, neither was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. Well, the point is this, did God come on the scene for what? He came on the scene for the woman. So therefore, the woman had to be there in order to give God the reason of his being. So the bride was created for Christ. Now then it says, but neither is the man without the woman. Well, you just try and have a bride without a bride. That is, you try to have sons and daughters unto God without a bride. You try to have Christ reproduced without a bride. See? You see your typing as you go along there. Then here it brings out the symbols of authority And the symbols of authority are very, very simple, that a man simply must have his hair cut, and a woman cannot have her hair cut. And it says even nature teaches that. Now, I, of course, you're over a barrel right now, and I couldn't get a fair response from you. But let's just pretend that you don't know anything about the message. And you don't know anything about long hair and short hair. That you men are just a bunch of, carnal indulgers. And you're looking over a woman who's really got sex appeal. I want to ask you flat, raise your hand. How many of you men tonight really believe that a woman is sexier with her hair cut? Now watch carefully. Have the guts to do it. Or do you believe a woman is sexier, a real woman, with her hair long? Let me see your hand. I've always been that way. I've only known one man in this message who said different, and he left it for a guy in India. No woman looks like a woman with short hair. Now, if you're born, your hair won't grow. I'd go so far as to suggest you by the week. Now, a lot of people don't like me talking like this, but Brother Brand said you could. Brother Brand even said if your hair is brown, it don't tint it another color, but if it gets kind of streaky, funny looking as you get older, you could tint it the same color you were when you were younger. It makes your husband feel good, it makes you feel good, everybody feels good. Except some of you folk with tongues long enough to lick the jam off the doorknob, and you're so self-righteous it's pitiful. You don't even belong here. You can squirm if you want, or just get happy. I don't give a rip. I'm saying what the prophet said, but there's too many people out God, God, out scripture, the scripture, out prophet, the prophet. Ha! You're out of it, because you outed everything. Took too many votes and voted yourself out of office. Now, Paul here says even nature teaches, and that's why Brother Branham said the church can learn all about God in a limited sense through nature, the continuity of nature. It says right here, say in that man's natural, man naturally doesn't want long hair. Woman naturally should want long hair. In other words, it shows a reverence comes deeply to the male toward God, and there is a deep reverence in the woman toward God, and it's manifested. See? Manifested here in this outer symbol. And then it says, if any man see to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. In other words, Paul said, here there's nothing outside the word of Almighty God, and I am giving you what God told me. Now, God told him that there had to be this symbol within the church, this sign of the proper understanding of authority. And now he goes on to say, I've got something to mention here to you. I understand there's divisions amongst you. And he said, I partly believe it. And because, he said, it's got to be made manifest. And Brother Branham said, there's three kind of believers in every group. Unbelievers, make believers, and true believers. Now, don't look at each other and try to figure it. Because Brother Branham also said the person who's sure he's going to make it could not make it many times, and the person who thought for sure he wouldn't make it is one that gets there. He said, that's the time you figure you got it all figured out. He said, that's the time you really miss it. Now, he said, there are divisions among you. And then I liken that on Sunday morning, everybody taking his own dinner. Everybody taking his own quote. And you know they get drunk on it. They don't really get drunken on that spirit. That spirit is so strong, I've said for years, and you people have heard me, some of you more intimate with me in private conversation. I have said that the spirit of those who believe that Brother Branham must come back would one day turn to a deity spirit, because Brother Branham said he did not kill those snakes, the deity spirit. They got into the waters, and waters are people. And unconsciously, they would make him God. Until it came out about 2 years ago, certain person said, William Marion Branham, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a lie from the pit of hell. William Branham is not the Logos. I was not in William Branham. See what nonsense? What nonsense? And where did it come from? It came from getting off of that word. See? Leaving the proper headship. Now, so they get drunken. And you say, what do you mean they get drunken? They get all steamed up. The wine of stimulation. I never saw people run until they got a funny revelation. Like Harold Marcondes said to one fellow, he stayed home all these years until he got the thunder so-called revelation out of New York. He began running around, run. Harold said, "I just admitted now." He said, "How come you didn't run before?" Good thinking, Harold. I never thought of that myself. It was good. See? Now he said, "I received the Lord when I delivered unto you." And he went on, he said, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And what was it? It was the outward manifestation of muddling the word and leaving the headship of the word. And they got sick. Now you show me where sickness comes any other way than being off the word, because sin and unbelief is what, and unbelief is the original sin, and everything else has come out of sin. See? Now, in other words, there is a place where the church can be, and the church will come to this place when that word has full preeminence. There will not be one sick day left in the people living here. They're going to be like Abraham, changed back to the youth. To be taken off the face of the earth in the rapture. Alright, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And I'm relating to the fact there'll not be one sick day left. And we saw in the scripture in the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, verses 12 and 13, our very hour in which we live. That is, he said here, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharp and two-edged sword, piercing, dividing, asunder soul and spirit. Join the marrow, discern thoughts and intents of the heart, neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And that was proven when William Branham could come to a meeting and say, "We don't know if you'll come, we'll ask him to come." He said, "He's here." Then he'd stand there and say what no living person could ever say. It's not found anywhere in Scripture. And he said, "Now," he said, "in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take every spirit into captivity in this building for the glory of God." And there wasn't one person could hide if you tried. Not one person could hide. Now you tell me a man could do that? It's impossible. I've seen these witch doctors, and of course I'm one myself. I've seen these fortune tellers and these clairvoyants and all that. Let me tell you flat, brother, sister, just they weren't like William Branham. Because William Branham plowed with the word of God. Those guys plowed out there in the arid desert, which brings forth nothing but a wind and a storm and destruction and death. But what he went with brought forth life. See? And there he was. And we got the very same thing right today. When the word is truly honored and loosed and released amongst the people, as it should be, it brings tremendous results, even to the place where it's going to bring about a change in the body. And the body is completely transformed into the glorified body without even going to death. See? Now, then Paul goes on here, and he begins to set the church in order. And he sets the church in order by talking about spiritual gifts. And he said, "You know that I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the pneumatic," or the charismatic, the spiritual. He said, "You are Gentiles carried away, blindly hurried unto these dumb idols, even as you're led. Whereof you understand no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say Jesus is Lord. But by the Holy Ghost." Right here he's telling you that if unless you're truly filled with the Holy Ghost, you won't even see what I'm talking about, what Paul talked about in the 11th chapter. And if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you'll get all involved in gifts and other items right down in here, which you don't need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost to get them, because they're just gifts. See? Now here's where the devil can get in. Because he talks about the fact that they were carried away into orgies, blindly led. They were carried away to what we call wumping up. Working themselves up. They were used to doing things like that. In other words, they tried to bring on a spirit within the church. See, they tried to work up something. Don't ever try to work up anything. See, it won't work. Now he said different gifts, same spirit. Different ways they work, same Lord. Different operations, same God. But he said the manifestation given in order that people may profit. One's given this, one's given that, one's given the other thing. See? But he said, "Sir," he said, "that's natural. You got a body, arms and legs and eyes and nose and throat and teeth and gums and everything. They're necessary. They all work together. And he said, sure, he said, all of your body's not as pretty as another part of the body. Some people have such beautiful eyes. I've seen people with beautiful eyes and ugly noses. And I've seen them with lovely noses and not so nice eyes. You know, they kind of snap and crackle and pop. And you just better stay away from that one. Tell you right now, because they'll snap and pop right back at you. That's one thing that men never did learn. My brother-in-law was up on that years ago. I used to go with a girl. She was quite a pretty blonde, and then I saw her parents, and I knew what she'd be like later in life, and that sort of you know, settled it. And we quit right there. I wasn't going to take a chance in the future. and I started going with Allison, and my brother-in-law is a man that Brother Branham would have loved. He was one of the finest men that ever walked in shoe leather. I mean, he was, not because my brother-in-law, because that's nothing, you know. But he was a fine person. And when he knew her, he said, now, he said, boy, you're getting ready. He said, notice the difference in the eyes of the two women. Now, she might pop a little bit the odd time, but in 40 years of marriage, she sure has got the sparkle of love, but she ain't got the sparkle of, you know, getting. And that's a good thing, you see. Brother Branham got that lesson learned by the old cowhand who said, see that cow out there? He said, you thought she was good. She'll never be a mammy to her calf. Why, she's got that wild look in her eye. But everybody was bidding for that little kind of thing that looked, you know, didn't look so tremendous, but she had the real sweet, soft look in her eye. Well, she'd make a good mother to the little baby she had. Well, all right. Now, you saw some people have beautiful eyes and the right kind of eyes. They're soft and tender. And you know, Leah had soft, tender eyes. But Jacob, he sort of went for the high-spirited gal, you know. And I think God sort of just tried to teach Jacob a lesson. I guess he did learn a lesson because it was Rachel that hid the little gods and things and could have caused a real stir. So some people have something going for them this way and some people have something going against that way. And God says, no, he said, don't ever worry about any of those things because it's all a part of the body. And if it's a part of the body, it's all equal. And God always makes everything up like your body makes everything up. And so then he began talking here at the end how that he put the he set the ministry of the word over the gifts. See, that's what he did. Then he said here in verse 31 of the 12th chapter, but covet earnestly or desire earnestly the best gifts, but yet I show a more excellent way. Now when you get here, it's a pity that there is a chapter 13. There should be no chapters in the Bible. Now that's the way the Holy Spirit wrote it. And I don't think anybody should have come along and tried to make it into chapters and verses. Because what it is Paul the Apostle here speaking, and as he's speaking or writing under the anointing, the thoughts begin to flow and they're based one upon another. See, like Brother Branham said, everything's like a Roman candle. Out of the Bible comes the ages, out of the ages come the seals, out of the seals come the trumpets, out of the trumpets come the vials, out of the vials come the plagues, and so on. Then Brother Branham took the seventh seal and did the same thing with it. Now he says here, as he's talking along and growing and warming up in this subject here, he suddenly stops and says, now look, he said here, earnestly desire the best gift. Now that's not talking about an individual. That's talking to the individual about the church. Want the best for the people. See, because he's talking of many members making up one group. See? Now, as he says, though I speak tongue men and angels, I am not love. I'm just sounding brass tinkling cymbal. And though I give to prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, have all faith move mountains, and have not loved nothing, and though I bestow my goods to feed the poor. Now show me where that's a gift. I know gift. In the sense of these here that he's mentioning. Then he says, I give my body to be burned. Well, where's that in a gift? See? Now, what he's trying to tell the people here, it's good to desire for the church the very best that can be manifested in the spiritual realm of gifts, but there's something that is better than wanting that, though you don't stop wanting the other. See? Just like Brother Branham mentioned, he said, you young people look at a sex queen and you get all messed up. There's hardly a person living that doesn't desire
intercourse physically, especially if he's a man. He can't help himself because there's a pressure there. But you don't have to marry just anything.
See, just like years ago, one person said, he said, well, he said, you know, the sex is just like, it's just like the fact that's one of the things of life. It's one of those necessities. How did he put it? One of those things that's innate within you, like eating and drinking. So he said, it's like drinking. The guy said, yeah, but he said, you don't have to drink out of a dirty tumbler.
True. See, now Lord said, love suffers long. It's kind. What he's showing here there is there's a greater principle in life other than simply wanting something manifested. In other words, there's a spirit to be reckoned with before you even want anything like that. See, in the way it gets. That's what he's talking about here. In other words, there's a way of life. Then he said, love suffers long and it's kind. Well, right in here, he was setting the church in order, and he was saying some pretty rough things to people. And charity doesn't envy. Love doesn't bond itself up, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. And yet he's telling you over here that if you are out of a proper spirit, it doesn't matter what you produce, it isn't going to do you any good. Well, listen. Isn't that the same as what's over here in Luke? I don't know if I can even find it for you. As I say, I'm the worst guy in the world. What is that? The 12th chapter of Luke? I know. See, you smart guys in Scripture tell me where in the world it is. I don't know. Yeah, he said the parable of the ground of a rich man in verse 16 brought forth plentifully. And Brother Brown said that was the rich man that Jesus liked and said, follow me, and he wouldn't do it. Now he said, what am I going to do? He said, like, oh man, have I got bumper crop. Boy, have I got bumper crop. Well, he said, this I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns and build greater. Bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, you got a lot of goods. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you're going to die this night, you fool. Then who's through these things going to be? You've got a wrong spirit on you. Why don't you really do in the right spirit, in the right way, with what you got? And that's what this is all about here in this talk on Paul's giving here in 13 Corinthians. See? Sure. Absolutely. People should have in the church. And Brother Branham, he went so far as to say that you could have all the nine gifts in the church. In one church. Well, I can tell you one reason why they haven't got them, because people don't want to use them right. See? Now he says here, love doesn't behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easy to provoke, doesn't think evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. That doesn't say, ha ha, serves him right. That's what I guess I sure feel there. But rejoice in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. Well, but now let's, whether there be prophecies, they're going to fail. In other words, there's evidently, there's something going to go on eternally that starts here that we'll need over there. And Brother Brand said, nothing but perfect love over there. If you ain't got it, you ain't going to get there. And he said, all they ever loved you and you ever loved them, he said, they're going to make it. So they said, what's Paul saying? You got a bunch of dead Baptists. Of course, they've been dead for centuries, and so are the rest of them, who are going to say, well, you see what it is, all this is gone. And now we got love, and they got love, and we got gifts. They got fat. If they had love, they'd have the gifts if they had love. But they just got some excuse for their backsliding and their deadness and the Nazarene church and the whole bunch of them. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. See? Now it says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, that which is part should be done away. Now, all right. When I was a child, spake the child, understood the child, thought the child, became man and put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know even as I am also known. Now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now right in here, he's got not really an interpolation, but he is drawing some contrast. Now he said, I don't care how far you go with gifts, you'll only know in part. See? And prophesy in part. It's only, I don't care how far you go in the gift age.
And you got them right here. There's a certain place where you come to a dead end. But when that which is perfect has come, now all the love in the world isn't going to produce it either. Won't do it. You can have the right attitude, you can have the right everything, and you can have gifts manifesting. Like Brother Branham made a little quote on the word of wisdom. He said the word of wisdom, that spirit of the Lord is there, and a man with that gift, he can go to scripture and answer any scriptural problem. Well, then who'd need a prophet? You wouldn't even need Brother Branham. So he wasn't saying that. Well, you can get gifts so glorified, and then Brother Branham mentioned something about practicing gifts. Then they take it to mean you get on the floor and stutter and stumble around until you get proficient. How in the world do you get a gift of God? Well, you can get gifts so glorified, and then Brother Branham mentioned something about practicing gifts. Then they take it to mean you get on the floor and stutter and stumble around until you get proficient. How in the world do you get a gift of God? You got to get proficient in this to its accuracy. The only way you get proficient in is learning how to keep your spirit in such a way as to edify the whole church and do something right so that you'll be rewarded by God and the church goes on with Christ instead of look at us, we really go through. Why, when the Pope can talk in tongues and prophesy, don't you make me try to think of some great big howdy-doody. See, we know in part and prophesy in part. When that which in part come, that which in part should be done away. And he saw as a child spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, became man and put away childish things. I see through glass darkly. Now here's what he's saying right here, even down the road. At the end of the perfection, the closing off and the polishing, the finishing. As Brother Branham said, there's got to be a ministry so perfect the headstone couldn't come down to it. Well, there was that when the spiritual headstone came, but I believe there's going to be something in the bride where the headstone can meet her in the air. And he's got to come down to it because we're rising, he's coming. It's a fallacy to think that he comes and sits there. It's a lot of hogwash. The Holy Spirit takes us up where he is, and when just a minute that he is there, the Holy Spirit slips into him, and that becomes God incarnated. Amen. Just like River Jordan. So they got that all mixed up. Now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know easily I know. Now what does he say? That's what about that? He said that's going to come when you're no longer a child. Okay, let's go back to the book of Hebrews and the 5th chapter and take a little peek at what he said about childhood. So we see also Christ glorified not himself, he made a high priest, but he that said to him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he said also another place, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek, forever, who in the days of flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications, strong crying and tears, unto him Zael saved in the death, and was hurt and that he feared, though his son he learned to be by things he suffered. Now that's he's trying to get the same spirit across the Corinthian church. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them be him. Called of God, saluted, screamed out of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom you have many things to say, and are hard to be uttered, seeing your dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Bunch of babies using gifts. And they wouldn't come to manhood because they wouldn't let the right spirit amongst them. Like Brother Branham said, that when God said, I'm going to give you a new spirit, he said, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's a new spirit in you over that old spirit you got so the Holy Ghost can come in. See? Now, he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. And Brother Branham's ministry, he harped and hammered on discerning. And that discerning was not people going to some kind of a trance and coming up discerning, but they sat right there catching everything, just sitting there. And they didn't try to be super spiritual. What's that? That's that old Fred, what's his name, the clown? Talks that way, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, they're super spiritual. Hogwash. You got your senses exercised. I'll tell you what. You bring anybody around me for a little while, just doesn't take very long. And I'll just listen to him talk. There's no man living will not bear his soul when he talks. And just takes one word, you catch him just like that and you know where he's going.
Now, see, that's some gift. There ain't no gift at all. Senses are exercised. I can tell a Pentecostal Baptist, don't worry. I can tell a phony from a baloney if they're both phony balonies. I've had it happen time after time. Your senses exercised. That's why the elders in the church. They've got to be men of experience. Senses exercised. These people right here were depending everything on gifts. The spirit, the right spirit couldn't come around them. Now listen, he goes on to say, well, now here we're looking at the fact that the actual time of the full revelation of where no longer are you looking in the glass darkly, which is the Word of God. I'll show you right over here in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, I think it is, tells you that. It says, but verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now look at that, depends on beholding Him. Now how are you going to get your change if you're looking in the glass darkly? Now it says right here that you're going to know even as you are known. Alright, now I hope you caught it. Listen. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharpening the two-edged sword, piercing the desires under soul and spirit, and joints and of the joints of marrow, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, and no creature is but what is manifest in His sight, and all things are naked under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And at that time is when that which is perfect has come, and you'll know as you're known. And it proves that you are known, because you couldn't hide if you tried. 5,000 people standing right there. And I'm one of those people that know you couldn't hide if you tried. Because if I just even was listening to him wrong, he said, hold it, you didn't get me. Hey, follow what I'm saying now? Here, Scripture's being fulfilled. This is your chronology of this hour. Got to put the church in order. Got to establish headship. Woman being a type of the church has got to come under submission. So man's got to come under submission first. That's why, and I tell you what, this is one thing I like about the ministry of this message, and I like about the churches, that the men are mostly in abundance over the women. And if anybody stays home, if the woman gets mad and stays home, or just doesn't want to come. True. The men are the ones. They've taken their headship under Christ, but women find it hard to take a headship under a man. This is ERA, era. That's the era. And then this so-called, this human rights amendment, I don't care what they do, the women today have become the biggest fools on earth when they wanted their so-called equal rights. And now men got them just where they want them. And that's very, very good. Let me tell you young women right now, if you want to fuss at your husband and say, well, I'll divorce you and get a big alimony, you are full of hot air and soup. Not even soup. Unless made of the chicken that brought, what he called the shadow of the chicken that started it. Because the law in Ohio, though it's got a community property, will not award you your husband's wages, maybe 25% if you get that. And he's got ways of walking up on you. Women too late have learned they put their foot in their mouth and every place else too when they got the ERA. Even Hollywood actresses, like Candace Bergen, have said, I was wrong. I shot my whole life. I should have married. Lived the way I was supposed to. Church supposed to be put in order. Gifts put in order. The proper spirit inculcated amongst the people. Like Brother Van said, he's why he said, don't settle for something unreal. And this is the time when we are not to see through a glass darkly. In other words, the Word of God is revealed. Now, you know that that's exactly what it says in Acts, the 3rd chapter. Elijah's going to come and restore. See? Right down the line. Also, you know that's what it says in the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, following that tremendous bit of what I was reading there concerning Melchizedek for the end time. And he said, but strong meat belongs to them who that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. When? At the end, manhood.
not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. You don't have that. The church has always stood for that. See, doctrine of baptism, laying on hands of resurrection and dead, and he turns up, and this will do God permit. But God didn't permit at that hour. And when God permits, what's going to happen? It's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the power of the world to come. And that's exactly what they did back here in 12 Corinthians 13, 14. See? Not if they shall fall away, having fallen away. You'll never renew them to repentance. They'll never change their mind. They have crucified the Son of God afresh. See? Put them in open shame. For the earth which drinketh in rain that comes off upon it, brings forth herbs and meat for them that are by whom it is dressed. And you know what the rain is. The rain is the Word of God. The Bible's full of that. That's the type. No, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's oil. This is rain which is the Word. But that which bringeth forth thorns and briars. So it went forth to sow. Two kinds of seed were sent. Ever since the tree of the knowledge of good and evil stood there, God said, now you take it the right way or take it the wrong way. They took it the wrong way. So now it's night of cursing. Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. He had to lay it on the line. He got tough with them. Just like back here in the Corinthian church. They're all messed up. Didn't know which way they're going hardly, see? Now, he says over here, in that 14th chapter, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather you may prophesy. Now watch the 12th verse. For even so, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now right in here, he says that prophecy, evidently that's where Brother Branham gets the thought here, where a preacher is a prophet. Because they speak unto edification, exhortation, and comfort, which is the Word of God. And then he said, here, be zealous for spiritual gifts. In other words, don't put them to one side and despise them, leave them alone, because it's going to take really something to get them right. That's the practicing. Going in there and making sure your spirit's right. That you want to help somebody. Notice what it says, to the edifying of the church. Man goes in there and said, I want to get something from God. What for? What are you in there for? Well, I might hear from God. Hogwash, you heard from God. The Bible's full of vindicated prophets stood there and gave us the whole word. Got 900 takes, if not 1,100. Nothing to do with that. What's going on in the church? A burden on people's heart. A sore and a cry unto God. People need help. God, help me to help people. That's where you start practicing. Trying to get the spirits under. Trying to get our natures under. See? That's the whole secret. That's why he said, wherefore, he said, a man speaks in tongues. What good does that do the bunch of people? Why, the fellow had a ball himself. Nobody else got any help. Then he said, if the whole church come together and you do this and do that, you're loggerheads with each other. And you got a mess until people say, hey, those guys are a bunch of nuts. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I never was in the army. But they tell me the army bought wonderful food for the men. But they had lousy cooks. That's the trouble. It wasn't the food, it was the cooks. That's the way it is here. Nothing wrong with the things of Almighty God. It's the lousy cooks in the camp. See? Now he said here, he said he tells you flat. What was supposed to be, how the thing is supposed to progress. The prophets are supposed to speak a certain way and keep everything in order and, dealing in love for others and respect for others. You keep yourself under and you do the right thing. Women have their place, but they've got to be under subjection too, very much so in this particular place here. And then Paul said, what? He said, oh, he's now, the people rebel. And he said, I don't ask you a question. He said, did you produce the Word of God or did I produce it? Now he said, if anybody's a prophet or baptized with the Holy Ghost, he will know automatically that I am the one speaking for God, the Word of God. That's why every single church age says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he talks to one man in every age, and that man talks to everybody else. And you can tell right away if the people are born again. Because they'll listen. But they won't listen. The majority, that is. Now, and he said, if any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Man, that's a slap in the face. Have it your own, that's what I say. It's a democracy. Walk in or walk out, who cares? If you happen to bet another church, go to the other church. You're prerogative. You don't believe a prophetic message, you don't believe when something is at least halfway vindicated, and you'll fall back on something that's not even anywhere near vindicated. When I was a little kid, I liked chewing gum so much, I didn't know any better than to pick up anybody's chewing gum and chew it. I got over that. Ignorance is ignorance, Paul. So you want to be ignorant? Be ignorant. Yeah. He says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. He wasn't putting the lid on him, say, don't do this and forget it. He said, you put it in order. But let things be done in the right order. See? The word takes precedence, and it's supreme. And if you want to know where doctrine goes haywire, it's always where the people are relying upon gifts. That's why Pentecost got where it is. Now, after church is in order and Christ becomes the head, he goes on and he starts talking about the resurrection. And that's where I say the chronology lies. See? People didn't realize it. But once Brother Branham put the church in order, and that's under the seven seals, which comes out the seven thunders, then he talks about the resurrection. And you will notice that Brother Brown's closing message, and I mean actually closing message, doctrine, was in Yuma, Arizona, December the 4th, on the rapture. And he hit the resurrection, the rapture, the whole thing, and he went off the scene. That's what Paul did. Now, I said, brethren, I declare the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which you're also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. And I know right away that many people say, well, no, I just can't understand that. It doesn't work out at all. But I got news for you. He was quoting the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And where is that one? All right. Let's find that one. And it says, well, that's not the one I want. It's the one here about the mysteries of the kingdom. And he said here that he that receives, he's explaining it. Now, that when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, understands it not, then comes the wicked one and casts away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receives seed by the wayside. That's the 19th verse. But he that received the seed in a stony place, the same as he that hears the word and on is joined and receives it, and he's got no root in himself. There's nothing in there. See, there's no place for the word. No place for the word to get down. He said, the Pharisee, you got no place in your heart for my word. There's no room in there. Well, how in the world could the roots go down and get nourished? Because that's where the Holy Ghost goes. To reveal. See? No roots. He goes along for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution comes, his wife begins kicking up her heels. The husband says, well, I better stick with Mom. I'll stick with Papa. Well, go ahead. He that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word and the cares of the world. Oh, this is the one to really watch because this is Laodicea. Oh, man, you can get caught up in just in trinkets and God knows what, any old thing. so he just couldn't work there either. The deceitfulness of riches got too busy. See? But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which bears fruit. And it comes forth 30, 60, 100. That's up to the individual. Now, he said, you keep in memory unless you believed in vain. How do we know how many people believe this message in vain? That's why there's believers, make believers, and unbelievers. I'll tell you what. Nobody knows, even knows himself. I never say, well, you watch Lee Dale. When the squeeze comes down, he's going to do so-and-so. I may run like a scalded yellow dog. I ran once before. I said I'd die if I ever run again, but I just have to eat my words. I don't know. Do you really know? See, well, who said what I'm trying to say here is I'm not trying to destroy anybody's faith. I'm just trying to let you know there's nobody knows who is bride except God. The foundation of God standeth sure. This is the Lord know them which are his. Believe me, and if you want to get that 8th chapter of Romans, you'll find out what the bride could go through. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Killed all the day long for thy sake. We're more than conquerors. Because we know he loves us. We got something. See? Holy Ghost seals us in. Now, I delivered unto you first how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And when that was thrown on the Jews' face, they laughed. They said, well, we don't believe that anyway. He's buried again, rose the third day according to Scripture. That's, of course, the first one's Isaiah 53 and Psalm 16 also. Then he was seen as Cephas, then a 12, and then above 500. That's about 512 Psalm, maybe 700. Who knows? Not very many appeared to. See? Then he was seen to me, one born out of due season. See? Then he said, now, in verse 12 of that 15th chapter, now, if Christ be preached, he rose from the dead, how say some among you, there is no resurrection. Now, they were having all the gifts and having them all, but their doctrine was wrong. Anybody can come together. Anybody can come together, brother, sister, let's face it, on gifts. And even on Hebrews, the 6th chapter, found repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptism, laying on a hand, resurrection, eternal judgment. Yes, sir, they'll buy that any day. Now, they were a long time buying gifts from the Pentecostals, but now the Pope's got them, everybody's got them. Neo-Pentecostals by the hundreds of thousands, there'll be millions before it's over, because I'm going to pour my Spirit upon A-double-L flesh. That's why I kind of believe it, and I preach it, but I don't preach it as though I know it. I just believe the Pope that's going to come out of America is going to be so much just like Jesus Christ, such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful feller, they're just going to say, ah, here he is. Why, look, he didn't come the way he thought. We thought he was. Here he is. He's already come the way they didn't think he'd come, and he's here. Been here for years. That's what bugs me and about myself and everybody else. Nobody's paying any attention to him. He's here, nobody pays any attention. But as long as you stay with the Word, don't worry, it'll come out all right. Now, but if there be no resurrection, it's of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, your preaching is vain, your faith is vain, we're a false witness of God, because we say that God raised him up, and God didn't raise him up, if the dead are raised not. For if Christ be not risen, then Christ is not raised, and if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. In other words, glorification is the end of God's acceptation. Because God had to accept Jesus. And the proof of the acceptation in his death is the fact that he raised him. Now, if you're really accepted by God under the blood, sealed in by the Holy Ghost, you could no more miss glorification than nothing. See? Now, and I'll tell you another thing about it too. Those that hear today, who are left after the rapture, must still be in their sins in some way. Now, come on, it says right there. They're saved, but they ain't born again. But the Holy Spirit will still be standing there because of the blood at the end time to receive eternal life. All right. It says, and they also which are fallen asleep are perished. Forget it. Nothing to it. It's all over them too. If in this life only we have hope in Jesus Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Tells you there's got to be an afterlife. There's got to be a resurrection. But he said, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all be made alive. Now watch. But every man in his own order. Now Christ the first fruits. Afterward, now some have already gone up there with him. But he's talking to these Gentiles. Afterward, they that are Christ at his parousia. See? He's got to be there to raise them. And now remember, he's talking about the mortal body. Not talking about the one that's gone on, where he says in 2 Corinthians about them, about that body. He said, for you know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon our house which is from heaven. Well, our house down here ain't from heaven. Down here is the earth. Here's one waiting. Brother Brandon called it theophany. It's really a spirit body is what it is. For this tabernacle, now, if so that being clothed, we should not be found naked. For we that in this tent do groan, being burdened. Not that we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. See? In other words, this death-doomed thing here, we're out of it. We're going to go ahead. and get eternal life. And that same word here, mortality, swallowed up a life, is the very same thing he is talking about down here at the end time before the rapture. Our bodies get changed, and we get caught up, meet him in the air. That get that same body. Now, he that wrought us for the self, same thing as God, with also given us the earnest of his spirit. In other words, the baptism with the Holy Ghost guarantees you that you will have a body to go to, and guarantees you will have a body here raised from the dead. And that's your own body going to be raised, and you'll live in it all the rest of eternity. Now, it says the first fruits at his coming, his parousia. And I want you to notice that includes 144,000. Because his presence is here right now, and that presence already knows, that same pillar of fire knows who that 144,000 is, and at the right time, the Spirit, in its measure, will seal every one of those into Christ. Sure, every single one, because they are going to be in the first resurrection. Now, then comes the end. And when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God to God, even the Father, when he shall have put all things, he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now he's telling you here that this begins when he is parousia. Come on now, look at it. I'm not making this up, I'm telling you the chronology. Every man in his order. Afterward, they that are Christ at his parousia, coming right down here, clothed in the word, veiled in the pillar of fire of the prophet, but unveiled to us by the veil of the word. Then comes the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now, after the parousia, it lets you know flat that there's nowhere to go except into eternity. We're talking about a bride. For he must reign to put all enemies under his feet. That includes the white throne judgment, the renovation of the earth, everything else. And the last enemy destroyed is death, that's in the lake of fire. For he hath put all things under his feet. Now that's the statement that God has done to Jesus and for Jesus. This is the plan. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is left out or excepted. E-X-E, not A-C-C, but E-X-E, left out. Which did put all things under him. In other words, there never is a time when God is not the head of Christ. You know, Pentecost gives some of the Latter-rain people, they're so messed up, it's pitiful. But they had an idea, there's no real resurrection, and all that's going to be here is we're all of God, like a plethora. Or the, what do they call that? The old Greek word, I don't know, I can't remember that word. It ends in M-A-2. Now watch. And when all things shall be subdued unto him. Now he starts with the parousia. You follow me? See? The chronological order. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now I'm going to show you this very, very simply. I see what I want to start with. Well, I'll just go right to Philippians, third chapter. We'll work out of that. And if I want to go someplace else, I'll just go someplace else. Now, I might be getting ahead of myself here, but it's all right. Okay, verse 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection, no sir, unto the out-resurrection of the dead. Now watch, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now that's the same old word in there, it doesn't mean you've come to a place of great perfection where, bless God, you are just like God himself, though you are in the sense of what union with Jesus Christ. You have become the righteousness of God. He's talking now as already being finished. That the whole thing is over with, because you see, he's talking about the first resurrection, the out resurrection. Now he tells you, Fred, he's not entered into it. Man, what a testimony for people to believe this message. Not as though I had already attained, either were perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. In other words, I am a part of it. See? And I wonder if I'm going to be caught up into it, living here, walk into it. Now, it's already his, but he can't take it because the hour might not be ready. It's like he said, laying aside all these doctrines, go to perfection, and this will do if God permit, but God did not permit. It wasn't the hour. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. No, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God is about first resurrection. All right. Now, he said here, forgetting those things which are behind, so I go back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. That's why I say I should have my notes, because here's I can get messed up and out of my skull because I don't put it on paper to follow it point by point. Now listen. Verse 17 says, after this portion where he speaks of growing up into Christ and the finishing off. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, forgetting those things which are before, behind, and reaching forth for those things which are before. How many people have really come out of the denominations that they say they came out of? In this message. I'll tell you flat. Some people here might not like the fact that your pastor keeps certain people out of his pulpit. Let me tell you flat, I advise him personally and will continue to do so to never let certain people in the pulpit. And he's got his own thoughts too, as well as mine. And I'm not trying to run him. You can call us Nicolay and anything you want. Just go right ahead. But you're the flatheads. I'll tell you why. Because the Pentecost are going back to Pentecost. They haven't forgotten. When God forgets, he forgets. It's gone. There's a bunch of people running around right now that have not left their denominational thinking, their creeds and their dogmas and their backgrounds, and they won't do it. And I'll tell you, the very best that you can say about anybody back there is foolish virgin. The oil's gone. They had it once, but it's gone. Now, he said right here, in this end time, the very end time, it says, I therefore... Now listen, I read it to you. Henceforth, no more children tossed to and fro, care of every slight of doctrine, when it was slight of men and cunning crafts were by the line weak to deceive, but speak, but holding the truth in love, grow up unto him. When you're grown up unto him, there's no place to go but a rapture. Now see, which is the head? Even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compact, that every joint supplies the growing, the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase the body on the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of the mind. What is the picture today? Having the understanding darkened. Now you see, Elijah's going to come. Ah, that's John the Baptist. Can't you read the Bible? Yeah, but the earth didn't burn at that time. Even Scofield says, only part was fulfilled. Yeah, but we believe John the Baptist was him. You think you're going to change him? Welcome wagon lady came by the other day. I talked a while and then I said, look, I said, you just forget what I said. It's only confusion. She'd I like to see our pastor, so I got a picture of him. He's got hair down to here, like a mop, looks like a sissy. Fap I can do without that kind of stuff. Doesn't mean if he gets a haircut that'll change him, it just means the fact there's something wrong somewhere. And I said, look, he believes in three gods and I'll kill two of yours right now. So I proceed to kill him. I said, I'm going to ask you a question. He said, you believe that Jesus, the man that rose from the dead, that's on the mercy seat behind the throne, is God? She said, yes. I said, well, you're all wrong, because the Bible says he's a man.
said, you still believe the Bible? She said, yeah. I said, all right, the book of Ephesians, even the Trinitarians say, he that came down and died, went to hell, and rose again, came back as the Holy Ghost. Now two of them are gone. What's it leave you now? I said, I'll only confuse you. Forget what I said. But just remember one thing, girl. Keep your mind open. Something someday may cross it. And all the denomination blind to it. I don't know what she'll do. I don't worry about people. That's their business. She came my way. She came in our house. I talked to her. Sweet person. God bless her. They're right in pagan idolatry. Don't even know it. How in the world are there three gods? When did he multiply himself and become three? In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word was God. And all things were made by the Logos. How many Logos have we got? How many gods we got? Ring around the rosy. Pocket full of posy. Which one sits down? That's the Father. Next one, Son. Next one. You see, how ridiculous can they get? Having the understanding darkened. Now listen. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them. How could you have the Holy Ghost and be ignorant? How could you have the Holy Ghost and be blind? 2 Corinthians. Third chapter again. All right, listen. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away, and the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses read, the veil is upon the heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, what? The mind shall turn to the Lord. The veil shall be taken away. And what's going to happen? The Holy Ghost is going to get a hold of that mind. That's why I'm burnt. I shouldn't be, but I burn every time I think of that guy from New Zealand coming over here, Searle, and getting up in that pulpit and saying, repentance is that feeling you know you have, a sorrow for sin. The Bible said, godly sorrow worketh repentance. But it's not repentance. Repentance is a change of the mind. Mary Baker Eddy, she really messed things up when she came and said, God is universal mind and faith is only mine. She did just what the devil wanted. And Pentecost walked right into their feelings and a whole bunch of them. It's in your mind. The proper mental attitude toward any promise will bring you to pass, the prophet said. The prophet's right. If you keep in mind. See? All right, where am I reading? Yeah. Fourth chapter. Now, listen. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness? The major stinking sex problem in the home today, swept under the carpet, now coming to light, is incest. It wasn't just little old Uncle Charlie coming in at one time to his nieces. My wife will quote you old grandfathers that even got their granddaughters pregnant. There's a girl in this message who'll tell you how that a man that whose wife will not believe he's a dirty, rotten old scum had those girls committing oral sex with him. Good old grandpa. Now good old grandma. He's living with her grandson. Sisters and brothers, lasciviousness. As I said a couple Sundays ago, you go and look at magazines or pictures, and I've seen them over there in Europe, of Pompeii, which was a city of sin and God destroyed for their rottenness. I can pick up a magazine, several magazines in our counters here, which makes the city of Pompeii look like a virtuous synagogue. Talk about filthy perversion. I've nothing against legitimate sex. It's fine. It's good for you. It's God ordained. But anything else isn't. When Brother Branham spoke out that one time, he mentioned, I forget just what his words were exactly about sexual intercourse and going on. We got a little bit upset. So my wife, she got her pipeline, which is Sister Branham. And so she went to Sister Branham. Sister Branham said, no, Sister Vail, you misunderstood. She said, you just don't know the filth that goes on in homes. When men want their wives to do. But if you want her to do anything other than that which is truly scripturally legitimate and that which is proper, if you had the Holy Ghost, I'd just say one thing. I don't know what happened to him. It's impossible. Lasciviousness. To work all uncleanness with greediness. The two cardinal sins. Greed and sex immorality. You think it's not in the churches? But you not so learned of Christ. Now listen, if so be you have heard him, what in the world can you hear him? I have not seen your ear heard. Take somebody to tell you. At the end time, this is what's going on. Christ himself brings the shout. Christ himself brings the word. As the truth is in Christ, he reveals himself giving you the truth. Isn't that exactly what Paul said in the first chapter over here? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him. That as you understand him being enlightened, you may know hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, and you may know him as he knows you. Hey, if the wife doesn't know the husband, as the husband knows the wife, there's still a bit something wrong somewhere. He'd better get a Delilah so she can pick your cotton picking grains and she'll know a little bit about you. Well, you shouldn't have to have a Delilah to pick your brains. I get mad at my wife. She's a psychiatric nurse and she pulled that stuff on me. I'm not talking about that. That's one thing I really had up in burning my craw. I'll be honest with the cat out of the bag. But you should know each other. Really know each other. That's going to mean a lot of respect, a lot of difference. A lot of letting down the hair. A lot of give and take, but in the right way. She'll take everything I give. That's the way some of you women are. You ain't worth a plug nickel. And some of you men may be no better. I don't know. I don't mean that generally here in this church, but I mean... I'll take that back. I do mean it right here, but maybe not the people sitting here. And then maybe you do. I still say, is your wife, anything in the bank, you got your wife's name on it? She could have everything I had. She earns it anyway, more far more than I did. She did far more with the family than me or anybody else. She deserves it all. She could have it all. I wouldn't feel one bit bad. I would feel bad if it just got blown or silly or something. I'd feel bad for her because she ain't got me. Doesn't matter about me. And what you're supposed to know is, this is what it's all about. The bride knows her mate. Are you still strangers to your wife? Poor old Job got there. His wife was a stranger to him. I think after a while he really wished she were. Ha, ha, ha. That was a good one. We've had a good marriage and a bad response. But what you do with an apple, you've got a little bad spot, you just carve it out and keep eating apples. Sure. Look at here now. You put off the old behavior, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Isn't deceit the end time? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's where you get into the rapture. Romans the 12th chapter. Do you know that you make the rapture through your mind? Which is the shout? You don't get called forth from the dead. You're not in the resurrection. You're living. You're going to walk through the tree of life. How do you do it? For this lesson here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, verse 1, 12th chapter of Romans, you present your bodies living sacrifice. Get your bodies ready. Accept unto God as your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, fashioned after this world. And Brother Branham said, who fashioned Eve? Who fashioned the church? But be you transformed, changed from a caterpillar to a butterfly, transfigured by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is a good and acceptable perfect will of God. You're right back to perfection. You'll know the doctrine. He that follows me, Christ said, shall not walk in darkness, but he that seeks to follow me shall know the doctrine. Not quote, 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 quote. Like a bunch of Pharisees quoting against Jesus Christ. He wasn't there to quote and get quoted at. He just laid it down flat, like that. And they said, man, that guy's got authority. He died according to Scripture, rose according to Scripture. See? All right, there's how you're going to get your change. Wherefore, put away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The cardinal sin at the end time is lying to each other. And Paul has set the Ephesian church in order. That's why he didn't have to talk about gifts. Be angry and sin not. Well, the only thing I can see there, if you get angry, don't let it get away with you. And then make sure it's all made up before night. Don't give place to the devil. What does it mean to give place to the devil? Have an unforgiving spirit. Let him that steal, stolen more, work these hands, do that which is good, and so on. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost whereby you seal the day of redemption. Put away the bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Evil speaking among you with all malice.